I also saw at Centennial Park areas where we can improve as well. I mean, I'd like to have that discussion. You know, again, who knows what kind of budget we have, what kind of funding we have available, but definitely if I had to prioritize, Ross Gold Park and Centennial Park would be my top priorities at this time. And I'd welcome any discussion for other priorities as well.
Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Long?
Yeah, just wanted to point out that, yeah, Ross Gold was one of the highest on the list, and we've already, in a sense, had already kind of set aside funding and expected to be able to use it on some of the equipment that was going to be upgraded there. But I think it was clear when we visited the park that essentially the whole park needs to be redone, and it's not just a few of the areas that we kind of expected. So one thing that highlighted to me is that there's several parks that aren't on this list that exist in the city that probably are in the same condition that Ross Gold Park is. So I think I want to understand that before I try to allocate money to specific areas. So for one, I think that means that I think it's worth bringing back as a future item and maybe breaking it down and maybe understanding what the other parks are and you know, how money fits, where it can be best used to be prioritized for certain parks or maybe better prioritize the parks after we understand what condition they're in.
Thank you so much. And I do thank staff. It was a great tour. We learned a lot. And I think we ought to make the tour maybe an annual event and maybe hit different parks every time so that we have a better understanding and overview of the parks and recreational areas within our city. Again, Jennifer Byrne, thank you so much for taking us. We appreciate it so much. All right, I will entertain a motion. If anybody would like to make a motion, is there any motion? No appetite for a motion?
Commissioner
Cosio? No, not a motion, but I think what Commissioner Long said, there's some merit. There's some parks we didn't get a chance to see. And if we have other parks that are, you know, are in the same condition, if you will, of being in need of improvements or, well, we'll just say improvements, I'd like to see those before we get too deep in it, because I concur with what everybody said here, but that was a good point. We really should make sure we understand all the parks and how we want to proceed forward.
So how would you propose that we receive information on the status of the other parks or the state? Commissioner Curtis?
You know, one of the things that Director Budge told us, sorry, was that they intend to spend this winter when they have maybe a little extra time. They're not all the summer activities going on. Staff is going to be going out and looking at all of the assets in the various parks and maybe even coming up with a system whereby they prioritize them, like, okay, Ross Gold's a 5. That means it needs some immediate attention. Maybe Centennial's a 1. It's okay. That kind of thing, and then bring that back to us to look at and use that maybe as a measure of looking at what we need to do next. And it's not all just the city. I mean, we can't just all sit back and say, okay, they need a fire engine, we need a new park. I mean, I think this is going to be a community effort to try to get some of this done. So,
go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Something that we discussed, Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director, something that we discussed on the tour was asset management. And recently the city hired an asset manager, and we're going to be working with him, and we're working with Public Works. And what we want to do and what I'd like to have as our winter project is to really look at all of our park assets. And that's really taking a look at every park. So if you take Ross Gold, for example, you look at every component of that park. There's a lot of things beyond what you can see on the surface that is really part of the park's infrastructure. So you look at a playground, you look at parking lots, you look at irrigation systems, the controller that have that, the restroom, and you go from there, even the turf. And I want to create an index, just like Public Works has for pavement. There's a pavement condition index. And I want to make sure that we're using terms that you're familiar with when you hear Public Works terms. So we can create that way, just like Commissioner Curtis said as well. So we have a playground, and we know it's brand new, so it's a 5 on the list. We just put that in. Or if it's something that's 25 years old, it's beyond repair, and it's very close to being removed, it's probably a 1 on the scale. So that way we can prioritize through our entire park system what's truly the worst playground and should be prioritized first, maybe, and is maybe a safety issue for the public. So what we want to do is make sure we're identifying those unsafe hazards, removing them from our facilities, and then prioritizing that for funding for grants and other opportunities as well. We know Ross Gold has a playground that's, you know, 20 plus years old and it needs to be replaced. But is that the worst one in our park system? Honestly, right now I can't tell you because we haven't done a full assessment of our facilities. But that's what I intend on doing this winter, and it'll involve all the staff, and then we can update you as we move forward so you can help us prioritize our funding. But that way you have more of a science-based approach rather than us just saying, oh, well, we saw that one last week, let's throw in a grant for that. You know, I want to be thoughtful for how we're moving forward with our funding.
So Jennifer, do you anticipate that you'll be able to give us that project before it's time for us to be working on the budget? So is that a January date or February?
I would love for that to happen. I don't know how realistic that is, but I would like to be well into that project so we can use that toward our budget planning.
I hate to lose a whole year.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, when you present this report to us, would it include pictures of some of the most egregious areas that you think need attention?
Ideally, we would have an electronic system, and we're working not only with that asset manager but the IT department on a long-term solution. So in theory, you would have a playground, and you would have a picture of it, and you could pull it up, and you could talk about the assessment for that. So if there's a broken slide and it needs to be addressed, but then it, maybe after that slide is repaired or replaced, you know, it bumps it up a notch on the scale. So in theory, all of that would be electronic, it'd be GIS-based, so we could map it out. It would be part of our asset management system. So if you go out to a park, we have the backflow preventer and the shutoff valves and everything on a map. So you could pull up a map, and then you could pull up a picture, and it would tie into much bigger operational issues for our park system. But if we don't have a software system in place this winter, we're going to have to be somewhat manual with how we go about it. But I think in the long term, that's the goal.
Much. Any other comments? Commissioner Castillo?
One more related to that. When we look at things like Ross Gold and the shade structure, you know, we don't have an exact timing, so, you know, do we have some kind of assessment on it that says, you know, we can let that ride for so long, or that seems like something we got to look at pretty soon?
We have had other professionals in our organization outside of the Parks Department keeping an eye on that structure to make sure that it's safe. So it's sort of on our radar for sure. We don't have that in the budget to replace it or even to demo it. It's a very large structure and very expensive. So we might be able to pull resources and get the demo in-house, but to be able to recreate that structure would be very costly. So it could be another funding source. But what we'd like to do it for Ross Gold in particular is update the park master plan. So that might not be the best location for that picnic shelter. Maybe if we rework the entire park so it has a little better flow, might be better in the long run too. So those are some other considerations we would have.
I was just going to comment, as this can be kind of a work in progress, maybe you just put on the agenda for an update in January, and then we can go from there, whether it makes sense to be able to do something for the budget or maybe come back in April when it's more complete.
So, yeah, we could concur with Commissioner Long on putting this on the agenda. I'm just wanting to make sure that we're not just looking at physical structures. We're also looking at, like, trails in the systems that are, we're going to be surveying that also.
We can definitely do a trail assessment as well. And we could probably work with partners like Muscle Powered and others to help us do that trail assessment.
Okay, yeah, I know, like, Longview Ranch, we're talking about that, tying into that just tonight. And that's, what, 16, 17 years old and getting kind of beat up.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, I just wanted to, I thought I heard at something I heard the other day that the asset management plan itself is maybe 5 years out, because in order to put all this together, put it into IT, get it all funded, put together, it's not something that's going to happen right away. So hopefully we're ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, what we need to do.
our goal will be to gather this information in a way that we can input into that system. So I'll work with the asset manager and try to figure out what the best way would be, whether it's even an Excel spreadsheet or we do have GPS databases, and we can go out in the field too, and we can build on those databases. And we have a Duno, a Trimble unit, and you can go and you do drop downs, and we could do some conditions in-house, and then we could take that data and upload it to the GIS system. So I want to work with them so we're not trying to do it 3 and 4 times, because we just don't have the staff resources to be able to do that. So we'll work with them and try to figure out a way on the interim to collect that data, but we need that information. We just can't move forward and be thoughtful without having that information.
Any other questions or comments? Any public comments on this item? Do we want to take any action on this item? Okay. We can hear it. We'll move on. We're moving on to agenda item 3B, which probably what most of you are here for, to provide comments on the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors regarding Vintage at Kings Canyon Tentative Planned Unit Development Application, TPUD-16-092, located west of the Mountain Street Trailhead, APN 007-573-06-07-08, and a portion of 009-012-02, as it relates to the city's Park and Recreation Master Plan and Unified Master Plan. And again, before we start, I'd like to ask anybody who's not already done so to please use the sign-up sheet in the back. And I'd like to welcome you all to today's meeting. Everybody on the commission and staff appreciate your interest in Carson City's Parks and Recreation System, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here with us tonight. We want you to know that your comments and concerns are important to all of us, and in an effort to be respectful of your time and to ensure that the meeting is as efficient as possible, we again ask you to fill out the request to speak list and submit it to the recording secretary or to Jennifer Budge. She will then forward it up to us. The forms are on the table back by the entry doors. I will call your name in the order it appears on the initial list that we have. If you have written comments, please provide those to our recording secretary so that they can be entered into the public record. Members of the public speaking on an individual basis will be given 3 minutes to speak. Individuals speaking on behalf of a group will be given 6 minutes to speak, and we do have a timer, so we will provide you with adequate warning before your time is up. And with regard to the Vintage at Kings Canyon proposal, the commission will only be discussing the items under the purview of the Parks and Recreation Commission. The Parks and Recreation Commission is an advisory board. We will be making comments and recommendations to the Planning Commission for its future consideration. Discussion tonight will include parks and recreation components of the plan, which may include parks, trails, recreation amenities, public pedestrian/bicycle access, landscaping, maintenance responsibilities, pedestrian safety and crossings, the Mountain Street Trailhead, and other public parks and recreation components. If you have any comments related to this proposal about the items other than parks and recreation components, such as traffic, water, schools, etc., please direct those comments to our Planning Commission, and they will be meeting on Thursday, September 29th at 5 p.m. Please submit those comments in writing in advance of the meeting. Now that we've got the housekeeping out of the way, let's move on. So first up to speak,
No, that's okay. Let me give a brief introduction and then we can get rolling.
Right.
The plan right now is that with my introduction, then we're going to let Vince come up
and
the developer come up and give the presentation. He has a PowerPoint presentation that I have here, and then I'll work through with him. And then at that point, we can then start taking comments and questions.
Now, during the PowerPoint presentation, are we free to ask questions, or would you rather us hold them till the end?
That would be a Vince question. He's the one who's giving the presentation.
Commissioner Bagwell.
Oh, come up to the mic. right?
Come on up. Come on up and introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Vince Scott. I'm the general partner and developer for the Vintage of Kings Canyon. And Commissioner Bagwell suggested that maybe we go one slide at a time, and after each slide, if there's questions from the board, we can handle those as we go.
That sounds perfectly fine.
Okay, so are we ready to roll?
We're ready to roll if you're ready.
Okay. Give me just a second. I'll give a kind of a context, and then we'll let you loose.
All right.
So don't go away. Just stay right there.
Okay.
On August 18th, 2016, Loomis and Associates and the Rubicon Design Group submitted a master plan amendment and plan unit development applications for the Vintage at Kings Canyon development to community development. As Madam Chair, you had mentioned, we're talking specifically about the Parks and Rec and Unified Pathways Master Plan. Staff sees this as a great opportunity and has positive implications. This development has positive implications on the implementation of both master plans. In your packet, we have provided for you Exhibit A, which is a select section out of the Parks and Rec Master Plan for Neighborhood 5. The Carson City and the Master Plan is divided into multiple neighborhoods. This specific area, Neighborhood 5, is where this development is going to be, if approved, will be constructed. So we've added that to your packet. It does provide for, as a part of the development, a neighborhood park. So that's Exhibit A for you. Also, the Unified Pathways Master Plan identifies an off-street paved shared path connecting the Mountain Street trailhead to the Long Ranch Estates open space, and that's identified as Exhibit B in your particular packet. This particular path is a critical east-west missing link in our Unified Pathways Master Plan, and will help provide a lot of connectivity related to the city's west side pass system, and that, again, is in your packet and has been incorporated into the proposal that you will be seeing here in just a minute. We have provided you select paper, select sections in your packet related to the development. The developer has asked me ahead of the meeting to provide these to you as well. This is the same PowerPoint presentation, I'm assuming. So you'll be able to follow along, not only on the screen, but also in the packet provided. And with that, Mr. Scott is here to give the presentation. So unless there's any questions for staff at this point, we would just let Mr. Scott proceed.
Any questions for staff? All right, hearing none, Mr. Scott, would you like to make your presentation?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll just angle this way. I'll be focusing on the screen over here. Okay, so this is my vintage team right here. So far, I'm the developer. Kirsten Motz Childers is our operational partner for the assisted living, independent living, my executive secretary, and then interior designer. In addition, we have our entire team here that I'm very thankful to have because I couldn't do this without them. But we have Mike Bennett and Rebecca from Loomis, Mike Raley, Rubicon Associates, Kirsten, Mark from Loomis, and Bruce Robinson, who's our broker on the deal. And we're just plowing through this, so we'll do. So I kind of prepared this so that it would evaluate my project would look like versus a single family project, high density, multi-level project may look like. And if given the current zoning, it'd be much easier, probably more profitable to put in a project of single family, you know, rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em kind of thing with no variances, no zone change, no PUD overlays, no special use permits, master plan, or amendments. And the path that I'm taking now with this project, when I talk about green built and sustainability, you know, it's really something that I've been doing in Tahoe. I like to do. It's a challenge for me to do projects that are green, that are sustainable, that are energy efficient, they conserve natural resources, and they fit a need within the community. So those are really my goals personally as a developer. When we look at impacts to the areas, I tried to address everything that I've heard and feedback over the last 6 months, well, since the first meeting we had, and integrated into this plan. And the impacts to the schools, the traffic, view corridors, cross streets, multiple access points. I know they're all issues. It doesn't really relate to Parks and Rec right now, but I wanted you to know that I'm addressing all of those. Open space, common area open spaces, strain on emergency services, parks, the funding for parks, and things of that nature. So we can continue to move on This is what a typical single-family residential multi-story development may look like. As you can see, it's got a ton of lawn, which is not great for natural resource conservation and water conservation. You know, it's high density. There's not a lot of setbacks, not a lot of parks, not a lot of open space. The buffers around the perimeter are not good. So that's what we don't want to do. So we talk about green and sustainability. I'm not a LEED certified builder, but I am a green certified builder. And so we try to incorporate indoor and outdoor air quality, natural resource conservation, and energy efficiency. Those are the three basic things we're looking at. So I've been talking to Tesla about some of their products, their Powerwall battery that helps with energy efficiency and overall cost. We might go solar. I'm still evaluating a lot of those things as well. But the goal is to do a green and sustainable project. The overall vision is to be a very highly active senior and adult community, 55 and over, that transitions into assisted living, independent living, and in an age-in-place type environment. So I'm expecting that people that buy here, it'll be the last purchase they make, their final resting place where they come. They enjoy a very healthy, active lifestyle, connecting with trails, close to downtown, and all the amenities that we think that they'll like. So again, support healthy, energetic senior lifestyle, transition into active living and independent care, all in one place with full service amenities. And that would be like concierge services, housekeeping, meal plans, a companionship program, things of that nature. Work with the community every step of the way to ensure the integrity of the land is upheld, and the vision is one that we can all embrace. And we talked about the sellers in the past earlier today in a Rotary Club presentation and how that they would really approve of this type of project versus the alternative. And we're really trying to work towards that and also integrate what the community, Parks and Rec, really wants to see. Right now, this is just kind of a rundown of the houses, the size, 1,300 to 2,600 square feet. And I don't have the price ranges on here, but we're thinking they'll be in the start at $300,000 and go to $800,000. One and two car garages, small, low maintenance yard. All the yards will be maintained by the HOA. Lot sizes range from 1,690 to 17,000 square feet. 39 leased cottages, 64 assisted living, and 32 independent living. And I might say we completed the CC&Rs as well. And they're available for public comment. It's my first draft at them, but they've been submitted as well to Hope Sullivan at the city. So again, a community with the, oh, I'm sorry.
We have a question in the back.
Yeah.
Are we opening to questions in the back, or are we waiting until the presentation?
I would. My suggestion would be is that you wait until the presentation is complete, because what the question they may have, Mr. Scott may be able to address it as he moves forward. So.
Okay. Sir, we will get to your question in a minute. The questions during the presentation are for the commissioners. Is that okay?
Yeah. Any questions from the commissioners at this point?
You'd like to continue, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Again, a community within a community. We encourage integration with the community. And you'll see when we get to the parks design that that's really what we're designing. So some of the community benefits, again, we touched on that already. Energy efficiency, environmental impacts, entertainment. You know, we plan on designing this park so it has a small entertainment venue for small jazz concerts, things like that. Nothing too crazy, but really want to encourage that social interaction between our residents and the community. These are some of the services community that we'll be offering on site, as you can see there. Housekeeping, on-site bistros, hair salon, public library, or laundry, and we do have a library as well. Chiropractor, on-site financial planning, clubhouse, pool, putting green, pickleball, activities, movie theater.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Could you get closer to the microphone and
Sure. Turn
it on, please?
I think it's on, yeah. Golfing packages and companionship programs.
Curtis?
Yeah, yes. While we're on the activities, and this isn't strictly a parks measure, but I think it's very close. You have amenities for the people that live there.
Correct.
All the ones that you just described.
Correct.
But there is a dearth of rooms, activity rooms in the community where seniors can meet and play cards, have book clubs, et cetera.
Correct.
Is there any way that any of these rooms could be available to the public to use, or for at least the members to invite the public to use?
Yes. So if we can go to the site plan again. Okay. So the building right at the front entrance off Mountain Street that you could see when you first come in, right there. Yeah, so that is a visitor center, community center building that will be designed to be integrated into the park. It could be used for community events, Rotary Club meetings, special gatherings, things of that nature. Thank you. And it'll be right at the trailhead. It'll be backing up to where the pickleball courts will be and potentially soccer fields. We haven't quite finished the design of all that yet. And then it'll be right there close. There'll be some restrooms there. And the plan is to have the trailhead start there that will work into a park course. And the community will have access to the entire trail system, including all the way around the perimeter, which is about a 1 mile loop. And then if they go around the second part there off of Ormsby, it'll be about a 2 mile loop. And that'll be open from dawn to dusk. And then it'll be closed off after that. And we will provide security and maintenance during those hours, pretty much year-round security, or year around-the-clock security. So that's the preliminary design right now. We have a DG part of it, an asphalt part of it. I think we have an elevation of that somewhere. Yeah. But, so anyway, the answer to your question is yes, we will have that available for the community. Yes.
Commissioner Glenn?
Yeah. Getting back to the services, I'm assuming that most of these services are going to be businesses. Like a chiropractor is going to have a business office there. CPA. Hair and nail salon will have a business office there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it'll be part of what we manage and operate. And,
sure.
Yeah.
So that gets to my next question. I'm assuming that these businesses will be open to anyone to take advantage of in the public, or would they only be open to people who live in?
They're designed to be for the residents. Those are resident services, yeah.
And they're not designed for someone to want to get their hair done, come in and get their hair done at that hair salon?
Not really, no. No, I mean, I don't know.
Not really?
Well.
It's an important question because
I know what
in terms
getting
of
at.
Traffic.
I know what you're everybody has the same concern. It's not going to be a traffic generator because it's designed for the residents to walk to. It's theirs. Now if they have their
Chairperson Glenn.
Relative.
Yeah. Hi, I just want to remind everybody to stay within the purview of Parks and Recreation, please. And I appreciate your question, but I don't want to go too far off track.
Yeah, I think it's an important question in terms of the use of parks and recreation facilities in that area and what kind of how much traffic is going to impact that area. I actually think it's an important question. Am I not allowed to ask it?
Just a friendly reminder for everybody.
Thanks.
Yeah, these facilities won't impact the Parks and Rec. This is completely separate. Those are the facilities that are on site in the assisted living.
Okay. I think this would kind of clarify it, Commissioner Glenn. Like I go to certain facilities as a podiatrist. I don't have offices at these facilities, but there's like a room. It's not a full-time business there. Someone comes in maybe once a month to do services. They're not there full-time. So it's a room where someone can come and offer those services, but it's not a full-time business, at least at all the places I've been.
That's a good explanation, yes.
Yeah, whereas I was at a rehab center and very similar to that, but my question had to do with I'm a resident in the building and I want to start a book club, but maybe not all the members of the book club are going to be residents of the building. They may be friends of mine or I may belong, you know. So the idea is there going to be a space? And your answer was, well, there's a 4,000-square-foot building that eventually will be turned over to the public to use for that kind of thing. So I'm assuming the activity centers within the building are just for the residents.
Primarily, yes. Yes.
Primarily.
I mean, Kirsten.
There'll be several activities rooms throughout
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Sorry, I'm Kirsten Motz. There's going to be several activity rooms throughout, so we'll have a garden center. We're going to have an activities room to do, you know, cards and games and things like that. In the library, there'll be different activities going on there. So throughout the property, there will be activities going on predominantly throughout the day, every day.
For the residents.
For the residents. You can also compare it to like a membership, a golf membership. If you're accompanied with a guest who lives there or a guest comes in, you know, with you, then she can attend with you the book club. Okay? Something of that nature. But they have to be a resident of there, but they can come be accompanied with. Does that make sense? Answer your question?
Any more questions before Mr. Scott? All right.
Okay. So this is the overall site plan, and you can see.
Hey, Vince.
Vince, you need to come back. We're having trouble hearing you.
Sorry. Hey, you know, we can hear you fine, but I'm thinking for the purpose of public record, we probably...
Okay.
You can go rogue, but we might need a microphone or something.
Okay,
for you.
Okay. So that's the trail system, basically. And then, you know, we expect to have that, again, open to the public from dawn to dusk.
Curtis, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. This is actually of staff. The subdivision I live on is the Kings Canyon subdivision or Long Ranch or whatever you want to call it, right next to this one. And we have trails that meander throughout the project. This one seems to have trails that just go around the edge. Now, I'm 70-some years old. I walk with a cane. And if I have one of those houses that's not right on the trail, how am I going to get around? I mean, I'm wondering why the trail has to be on the periphery of the entire subdivision and why I can't go through it.
Is that for staff or is that?
Staff, you, whomever can answer. Vern?
Well, I think Mr. Scott maybe answer this better than I can, but as I understand it from what I've read of the application, there will be sidewalks throughout the development. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if you were, for example, Donna, for example, you would live in this home. If you wanted to get from there out the front door, go out to the sidewalk, I believe it's going to be a standard 5-foot sidewalk.
Correct.
It would take you down to a connector path that would then get you on to the path that way. So even though it may not necessarily be a trail within the development itself, there are pedestrian facilities being provided throughout this particular part of the project area, and then when you get over to here, you have that same idea. Is that you would be as Mr. Scott was indicating earlier in this presentation, you would have a path that would take you through the development. It connects into the standard city sidewalk that would then connect you into the park, and then you get back to the big 10-foot wide trail, and these trails, as I recall, right, Mr. Scott, those are your 6-foot wide concrete paths. Is that right?
Asphalt.
Asphalt. Those are asphalt. Okay.
And DG three feet of DG next to.
So also with those trails, you will be able to connect into the neighborhoods. So does that answer your question?
It answers it. I don't know if I like it, but it does answer it.
Commissioner Lehman.
I think it's a good point. Commissioner Curtis is saying, like, I like the meandering paths also, but it is worth pointing out that in our neighborhood there's no sidewalks whatsoever. It's as if the trail took the place of the sidewalks. So, right, this is a lot of straight lines, but there are no sidewalks at all in our neighborhood. So that's, I guess, yeah, maybe you wouldn't like it, but I guess I see the point. There are no sidewalks at all. We have to walk right down the street in our neighborhood.
And this site plan doesn't really show all of the landscaping and all the vineyards and all that. So I'm hoping to break it up so it doesn't
feel like it's a lot of straight lines.
Commissioner Bagwell?
So, Vince, can you help me actually understand the map in the perspective to the park and the proposed trails? So is that fenced? Am I seeing fencing all the way around? So
yeah, I think we have an illustration.
Yeah. It is fencing.
Madam Chair, may I just chime in really quick? I've looked through Mr. Scott's presentation, and a lot of the questions that are coming up right now are in future slides. So perhaps we could let him get through the whole presentation and then ask questions that might answer some of them. He has a lot of very specific slides on trails, on the park, in his presentation, and perhaps that would that be helpful?
That's fine with me. Okay. How does the rest of the commission feel?
Thank you.
So these are some of the designs in the proposed park. It talks about the hours, like other neighborhood parks, from dawn to dusk, adjacent to Mount Street Trailhead, with the ADA access from the trailhead to the park. And of course, we'll be dog friendly, and they'll have all the little stations there along with trash cans. And park elements will include grass areas, a large gazebo for seating 35 to 50 people, pickleball, bocce ball courts, maybe a soccer field if I can get it in there, ADA compliant connections to the existing Mountain Street and the trailhead parking lot. Connecting to the trails into Longview, it'll be constructed in two phases, so it's not like we're going to wait till the end of the project is done before we put this in. I'll be putting this in as a feature from the first phase on, the front gate and the park amenities, and it'll be done in the first two phases of the project. Will be maintained by the HOA that we establish. We'll be establishing reserves to take care of the park long term. Have a 16 to 20 foot wide easement, access easement, to be granted to the city to allow public pedestrian access. There'll be a grade crossing on North Ormsby with a flashing warning system. And of course, the park will be constructed to Carson City development standards, and again, open to the public from dawn till dusk. This gives a good idea of the fencing, and the blue is the, we're calling the Anderson Capital to Crest Trail, you can see, which is public, but I've actually expanded that to go around the perimeter of the project as well. The red is our internal trails, and then the green is the existing park location. And it's actually a linear park, so from there it'll continue where Vern is going all up there. There'll be a park course attached to it, so you'll be able to run, walk, hike, mountain bike right along there with a park course. It'll be very pretty cool little setup.
Sir, did you say how big the park was?
1.2 acres. This talks about where it begins and where it ends. 2,700 linear feet trail elements include 10-foot wide concrete trail. It might be asphalt or concrete, one of the two, and then 3 feet wide decomposed granite, and then the park course adjacent to it, and a 20-foot wide access easement to include the park course elements. And this is an illustration of how that would look. And the fence will be wrought iron with stone with creeping vines, hopefully. Okay, any questions so far? Okay, we'll get through it. And then, we can keep going. Again, we talked about all that. That's fine. Split rail fencing will be perimeter interior fencing with vines, and the entire development will be fenced and secured, and gates open to the public from dawn till dusk. And this gives you a little illustration of how that looks. So the blue is the 2 to 4 foot tall split rail on the interior, and the 6 foot tall wrought iron internal, and then the 6 foot tall wrought iron frontage fence with pilasters and stone on the front.
Okay.
This is a 30-foot wide buffer area. And this is what the HOA will be responsible for. So I know costs and tax dollars are being stressed to take care of the parks currently, but with this park, you won't have any concerns about that. We'll be taking care of it all and taking care of all the common area open space, detention basins, vineyards and gardens, community buffer areas, and including multi-use path, exercise equipment, opening and closing gates at dusk till dawn, all the mitt stations, trash cans, fencing, garbages, everything. And we, last but not least, we have a website with frequently asked questions. That's www.thevintagenevada.com. If anybody wants to go there, check that out if we haven't covered it here. And that'll be updated constantly with current information. Okay?
Thank you so much for your presentation. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for Mr. Scott? Commissioner Curtis?
Thank you. I just missed, where are the vineyards and the gardens, or are they throughout the project?
This is kind of more of a conceptual. There'll be orchards, fruit trees, vineyards, gardens around the perimeter and interior of the project as well. I think we had, how many vines? Lots, something like 2,000 vines planned.
Do you have grape stomping contest planned?
That's part of the plan. Yeah, have a little grape stomping contest. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Bagwell.
Hi. So Vince, I have a few questions, and mostly just for clarification, because you've added a document tonight that clarifies several of the items.
Okay.
So one, I want to validate that you indicated you're going to have a restroom at the trailhead.
Yes.
So that's a yes to the restroom.
And that'll be an upgraded restroom. Obviously, we're concerned about the quality of the whole project, so that'll be not just your normal porta potty. It's going to be a nice restroom.
So yes to the restroom. And then I'd like to be clearer on what is in or outside of the Homeowners Association, because when I look at your document that you handed us today, does this mean you're maintaining everything within the fence lines? Everything inside of a fence will be done by the homeowners. Again, I just want to clarify on the record that we all understand. So that includes the community center that's going to be done, the exercise equipment. You'll keep all the public trails.
Yes.
Okay, just want to clarify that. Mm-hmm. And then can you, for me, talk to me about the public access if it's all fenced? Where are the access points? Because if it's 2.5 miles of a loop and 1.5 or one on the other,
right.
Where are the gates?
Okay, so we'll have a gate at the trailhead, which will be probably right in here somewhere. We'll have a gate right here at the crossing, probably both sides. And I think, Rebecca, didn't we talk about some pedestrian access on the side streets as well?
That's what I'm looking for.
So to minimize traffic altogether, obviously we're looking at 1, 2, maybe 3 gates on the side street on each side of the property. Is that the plan? I think, if that's okay.
Well, you're working in the right direction there,
okay.
Vince.
All right.
That's what I'm after, is getting the actual public access points, because if you're fencing it all, I don't want the public to think that they can't enter it and use the park. And so it's important that I understand with that distance around that there are access points for the public. So is 3, and we can talk about that when it comes back up here, but, 3 or 4 access points on each side or something necessary for the public. So I just want to make sure we're getting that covered.
Can I ask one quick question? Yes. On your fencing plan, Mr. Scott, you have that black dash line that's not on the legend. What is the black dash line?
Oh, that's the property line, the new boundary line that's been created. And then those are the phases.
Okay.
So phase 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Commissioner Lehman?
So, I just want to clarify, even though the HOA is going to maintain all these trails, they're going to be open to public access.
Correct.
Okay, then the big concern I've had, and I've had for years, I've been on this commission for 12, 13 years, is the connectivity. And even though the Anderson Capital to Crest Trail would connect Mountain Street to Longview, that's really not the critical connection that we've talked about here over and over. And I know the matriarch of the Anderson family wrote into the appeal about a trail along Kings Canyon Road
mm-hmm.
that would connect Ormsby to Thames Lane, and there's a section there that's heavily used by pedestrians that I had heard would be included as part of this project. Can you address that?
I think that's off the table from the Anderson standpoint. I had agreed to that initially as part of our agreement, but didn't they decide, Bruce, that they, after all, didn't want that? And so from my perspective, I was okay with it, paying for it and doing it, but they decided that
they might bring it back.
That they didn't want to have that done right away as part of this. They might bring it back under some different pretense, but because I think it's a safety issue. I looked at it, and Bruce knows it. You know, people walking along the edge of the road there, and it's not safe at all. There's no sidewalk. There's no path. So,
yeah, I mean, I was up there with 20 middle school kids today, and so she had written that they were going to do that, so they've changed their mind.
They have. I just want you know, I'm for it, right, Rebecca? I agree to it. I mean, so we'll push for that, though.
So then just to clarify, when you're looking at this plan, the kind of western part there, directly south of that, is who do the Andersons continue to own that property
yes.
then?
Yeah, they continue to own that, and there's a, is there a buffer of about 35, 40 feet there from the property line?
Hi, Rebecca Renier with Loomis. Yes, there's the existing road, a dirt road, and then there's a ditch, or the creek, I'm sorry, the Ash Canyon Creek. And from that fence, there's about 30 feet between the fence and that creek.
And the Andersons will own everything on the other side still.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, I may have missed it, but in terms of people coming to this park, not everybody's going to walk there. They're going to drive. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to park?
Well, there is an existing parking lot right in front there.
As well, by the mountain head?
Yes.
That's it. I mean, is that, yes. I don't imagine, unless there's a special event, that there's going to be, you know, hundreds of people that are going to be coming there on a daily basis, but
right.
I gather that staff feels or somebody feels it's sufficient for the expected usage to park.
Yeah, and if there is a special event, I think we're over parked for what our usage is going to be, so we can work with that.
Commissioner Curtis, the parking available currently at the Mountain Street Trailhead would be consistent with most trailheads in our system, and it's exceeds our parking typically at a neighborhood park.
But is it being used now for medical staff and all that? Or?
It is being used for area businesses. That's basically who goes there. But it's, you know, a trailhead to nowhere right now. There's no trail system that connects to that other than, you know, the interior, you know, sidewalks.
Okay.
So in the future, would there be a problem with the parking? Would the businesses continue to use it? And would that interfere with the people who wanted to utilize the park, do you think?
That could be something, an outreach effort to those businesses to see what their intent is and what parking is available at those area businesses. I know when it was constructed, it was a cooperative effort with the former hospital, which is no longer there, and they're, you know, being used more for private business enterprises. So perhaps, you know, an outreach effort to them to see what their intent is and what their parking availability is could help answer that question. But as far as a park perspective, it's adequate parking for a standard trailhead, and it's more than adequate parking for a standard neighborhood park.
Any other questions? Commissioner Cassioppo?
Yeah, Ben, she just mentioned at the park talking about maybe the possibility of soccer and whatnot, which kind of lends itself, given the type of community is, to, you know, neighborhood usage. How do you see that interface working with a development such as this and soccer, which, you know, brings crowds, brings noise? And I like soccer. I'm just curious how that interface.
And I like soccer too. I mean, I grew up playing soccer and football, and we'd go to the veterans' home in Yountville, and all the old people would come out and watch our games, and those were our fans. And so I really encourage that interaction. You know, I really think it's great. So I would like to do a soccer field here. I think it would be great for our community. I think it would be great for the community in general, if we can squeeze it in.
Commissioner, and then Commissioner Curtis.
So my question is, when I looked at the plan and the documents that were submitted prior to tonight's handout, it had indicated a landscape maintenance district was going to be necessary. But with discussion tonight, no landscape maintenance district because the HOA will take responsibility.
Correct.
So I just want to, again, are we planning on seeing then some, I just want to make sure that the Planning Commission is going to be looking at the correct documents, so we'll be incorporating this into the record as our recommendation from your handouts. Procedurally,
I would also recommend that in your
motion,
if you agree mm-hmm. with that proposal, that in your recommendation to the Planning Commission, that you suggest that something be incorporated in their CCNRs or through an operation and maintenance agreement, perhaps also with the Homeowners Association, to ensure that public access continues in perpetuity and that maintenance is ensured, because there's always an, you know, the possibility of a homeowners association not being able to meet their financial obligations. So we need to know what that backup plan is ultimately for the city and for the public, should that happen.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, a couple of quick questions here. One is for staff, but the first one is on page 6 of the report that we got, describes the park as a passive park, and from my understanding, this is not a passive park. This is an active park because it's got the bocce ball and everything. So you might want to correct that. Otherwise, people will be under the impression it's for flower picking only.
Okay.
I don't think it is. Okay. But just to staff, looking at, you know, the master plan itself, under the neighborhood 5, it says implementation strategies. Continue to explore acquisition of some of all the Anderson properties, open space. You know, I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and if anybody's got $9 million, go ahead, buy it. They'll be happy to sell it. But in the meantime, has there been any effort that you're aware of that anybody's been trying to do that?
From the city perspective?
We
had a few members, of the public come to the Open Space Advisory Committee about that. It has not been on the agenda. The Open Space Advisory Committee is that board only works with willing sellers. We don't have a willing seller situation here. The city doesn't currently have, you know, the staff or financial resources to acquire that land or to manage that land. It's a beautiful site, but it is not... doesn't have threatened endangered species. It doesn't have a lot of those triggers that may be on the acquisition list. We have not been approached by the owners to acquire that land or anything like that, and we don't typically pursue that without a willing seller.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the commission? All right. We're going to open up the floor to questions from the public for Mr. Scott. If you would come up to the podium and introduce yourself before. No, these are questions, not for on the presentation.
Commissioners, members of staff, Maxine Neitz.
Is this a question on the presentation or are they comments?
Well, I do have several points about the a presentation that I'd like to rebut.
Okay, you have 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm with Save Open Space, Carson City. I think it shows a certain attitude on the part of this development that they open their presentation with a threat. This could be much worse. That is such a typical developer comment, instead of, I bring to you what I believe is the best project Carson City ever had. He's talking about rack 'em, stack 'em, pack 'em. So he's basically saying, I threaten you, Carson City and Commission. His discussion of green buildings, I think, is not pertinent to this commission. I find his architectural style with his clerestory windows which provide extra light for tiny rooms to be inappropriate for what he's calling a wonderful, great place. He's mentioned age and place. He's talked about bringing in seniors from California because we're basically a cheap place for them to retire and croak. And now he's talking about using Carson City residents to move into his development and then turn over their property and croak. He's talked about working with the community in his presentation. That is not accurate. He has not worked with the wider community. We have quite a large mailing list with Save Open Space, Carson City. He has not approached us. No one who's working for him has approached us either. he's talking about small lots. He never mentioned here, but what he's talking about is zero lot line properties, and that is they own their home only, and they own nothing. They cannot put a beach chair out front or a barbecue out back because it's not their property. And the smallest of those lots is 1,690 square feet, when with the rest of Carson City, the smallest single-family lot is 6,000 square feet. He's talking about closing the park. He says he's closing it from dawn to dusk, which I believe is just another one of his mistakes. But the trails and parks are going to be closed, I guess, from dusk to dawn. Does that make them really available to the public or just for his residents? And then he talks about a 1.2-acre park. My understanding was that 2.5 acres was going to be a raw minimum. The one in Long Ranch Estates is well over 7 acres. And in addition, he's now again talking about gated community. The last time that I met with him, which was a long time ago, I talked with some of the members of his team, and I said, I'm really opposed to a gated community. And they said, we will not gate this community, and yet I'm still hearing this stuff about gating the community, closing it, golf carts on public streets, and all of that sort of stuff. I have a number of other things to say, but I want to just rebut what he said in his presentation.
Well, thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you'd like to submit a written copy to the Planning Commission, I'm sure that that body would appreciate and would review it.
Oh, I definitely will.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Molly Bundy Torrell.
Yes, good evening. I don't have a lot
please,
to say.
Please introduce yourself.
Oh, yes, I'm Molly Bundy Torrell, and I don't have a lot to add right now. Some of my questions were given in the presentation because I couldn't tell on the map. I was concerned that the trail would go all the way around the property instead of just the one side, instead of just the south side. I would prefer to see the trail be a little bit wider, especially on the south side, because the density is a lot larger on the south side. You can tell the density of the buildings together. And there's a lot of people on the south side that are older people and that have been there for a number of years and they're just struggling a lot. And I think it would be helpful for them to have a little bit of space, more space on the south side. I don't know if you can do that, but this is about open space and trails. So, I mean, that would be one of the things. I would like to see the park larger, but I am glad to see that it has dogs. I was concerned about that because I know that there's been some complaints, like Carriage Square, when there were dogs and things like that. So I don't live right next to the property, so I know some of the people who live next to it have more struggles and difficulties with it. But I do want to see, I'm hoping it's going to be available at least to seniors in this community in terms of price, because if it's too pricey, what we're doing is just bringing in a lot of seniors from California. And I'm not against California, but I just think I am concerned, and I mentioned this before, and this doesn't have anything to do with Parks and Rec, but is the fact that we don't really have the medical facilities in this city to really cover people now, and I am concerned about being more and more people into this community. But that, I know, it doesn't have anything to do with Parks and Rec. So those are all my only comments right now. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate them. All right. Sean Gallagher.
Good evening. My name is Sean Gallagher. I'm also with SOS Carson City. I don't have much to say. I'll try and make it quick. I know there's a lot to be talked about, or probably people have questions. I just kind of want to get it out there on the record. SOS Carson City, we're not a bunch of political wackos. We're not trying to oppress the rights of anyone. We totally respect the Andersons' right to develop land and sell it. We're not proponents of the government coming in and telling people what to do with their land. We simply recognize that there is a huge number of people who are critical of this project because they feel it has a tremendous impact on their lives. And we just want to spearhead that. This has nothing to do, we're not opposed to a developer's right to develop. We're not opposed to a family's right to sell their land. You know, I think it's ironic that ultimately our organization is working towards preserving what I from my readings, is preserving a family's history as opposed to pouring concrete all over it. But we do respect the right to sell. We do respect the right to develop, and I just want to get that on the record, that this isn't some crazy group that's saying, you know, no build, no build, no build. I mean, of course, we would all prefer it to just be green. So I appreciate that. I just want that to be on the record that SOS, we're just trying to spearhead what I think a lot of people are thinking. And it's very hard for people to come here. You know, they got to get babysitters or whatever. It's not easy for people to get up here and say things. Please just remember that. And I'm very pleased with a lot of the things I've heard all of you say tonight. I do feel as though there is some concern. And I just always want to make sure that you guys know we appreciate you.
Well, we do appreciate the members of the public, and we do realize that 5:30 is sometimes an inconvenient time for people. They have lives, and for this many people to show up, it shows a real concern and an interest in the community, and we really appreciate people taking the time out of their life to come share time with us.
Sure.
Wouldn't you say?
Thanks so much.
I just wanted to ask you, sir, I don't know if it was appropriate to do this or not, but I'm not sure what your concern is, because it's okay to develop, you said. It's okay for the owners. They have a right to do something with their property. It's too bad we're going to lose the horses and
right. Maybe
the cows and all that, but I'm not sure about that even. I think we'll still have the sheep. But anyway, so I'm wondering what is, you know, because we're interested in quality of life here.
Right.
This is what parks is all about.
Uh-huh.
So what is?
SOS's concern?
Yes.
Or my concern.
Well, yours or SOS's, whatever you
say. Well, I would prefer just to stay open space, but I mean, I'm not a fool. I mean, I realize laws are laws, and I'm not expecting the laws to be ignored. I just wanted to make clear, because I suspect at some point others are likely to come up here and say, well, you know, we have a right to build, and these people are just, you know, they're being hypocrites, or that's not what it is. But our concerns are, you know, as it relates to Parks and Rec, I don't think that a 1.2 acre park is something that the community is really going to be able to utilize. That's my personal opinion.
Time.
So
thank you so much,
Commissioner. If I could just, so yeah, you came up and said you respected the right to sell, respect the right to develop, and
sure.
And, hey, I love open space just like the next guy, but I guess where I get confused is I live up there and the big giant signs everywhere says stop vintage. So I don't know how that's respecting anybody's right to sell or to develop if it's saying stop vintage. I think we can all be a lot more constructive by making sure vintage is appropriate.
Sure.
And preserves as much open space as we can and get the trails in and the connectivity that we can. But a lot of this stop vintage, that doesn't seem like it is respecting those rights.
Okay, well, the stop vintage is, I would say, it's probably just so that there's, hey, in its current state as it is. Okay, I mean, I wouldn't disagree that maybe could be put more words on there. Sure, but SOS also has its own website. We also have our own placards of SOS that you might see are typically next to those. I guess I just wanted to make it clear that this is not personal. I don't know any of these people. I'm sure they're all very good, decent people. That's not what it is. I just know that at some point, and I want to get it on the record, there's likely we have critics as well, and I understand that, and I welcome it. I just want it on the record at some level that we're not saying people don't have a right. We'd like to see a development that is in line with what the community wants. That's it.
All right, thank you. Next speaker is Suzanne Falk.
Well, I just want to comment.
Maxine, you've already had your turn. I apologize. It's Suzanne's turn now.
I'm sorry. I'll be back later when they're open for real questions. Okay.
My name is Suzanne Fox. I live on Maison Way, which backs up to what I believe will be phase four of the project. But I also own my mother's home, which is on Long Street, right next to Mrs. Neitz, and two doors down from one of the other members of our group. And first of all, I want to thank Mr. Scott for his excellent pitch for people who might want to buy there, but a sales pitch. But that's not what we're here for. And I do want to assure him that I have left my torches and my pitchforks in the car, so he didn't worry. Nothing's going to happen here. However, as regards the first meeting on item on your agenda about the park that was in terrible disrepair, he said that the Vintage would eventually dedicate their parks to the city. Well, now, if the city can't afford to maintain the parks that it's got, how's it going to afford to maintain all these other so-called parks or open space that they have promised us? It seems to me if they're going to have those, that they should maintain them in perpetuity, because the taxpayers who aren't allowed to use this space still are going to have to pay for it. And that's not right.
I believe there's a misconception. I believe there's going to be HOA fees that are going to help maintain the park and keep it in good repair. And it will be open to members of the public in Carson City from dawn to dusk.
That's unacceptable to me, because what I have heard here was a gated community. 6 feet high wrought iron fences are not open space. And I'm not sure if he's even including those little bits of people's front yards and backyards as part of the open space, because if that is, that's private property, that wouldn't be accessible to us. So what we need is more open space that is completely accessible to the public. Another meeting, I'll get into other aspects of this, but it's simply, as far as open space is concerned, that's my major concern. This sounds very, very exclusive, and we don't like that. That's not the way we people in Nevada like to live. This is an open range state, so it seems to me that we don't have any cows there anymore. It should be more open to the public. Thank you.
We appreciate them. All right. Our next speaker is KNAUS.
While he's coming up, if I can make a quick comment.
Absolutely.
About
So the HOA fee is going to cover it, but I don't recall. Is there going to be a landscape maintenance district also in this? Okay, so it's just HOA. Okay.
Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Hi. My name is KNAUS. I live on the dead end of Richmond, which is right up against the property that's being developed. What we're concerned about is our privacy. And some of my questions can be answered by reference to pages 3 and 4 of the stapled pages. On page 4, there is a yellow wrought iron internal fence. And on page 3, there is a picture of where our house would abut up against the 6-foot fence. Now, is the concrete path that's labeled here, is that the so-called road to the ridge? Or what path is that?
Mr. Scott, can you address that, please?
Well, I'm not exactly sure
you pointed out.
This is
okay,
this.
He's referring to
and the, is that the road to the Crest Trail?
The Anderson Capital Crest Trail, yeah, that's the blue. Yes, so that'll be the concrete with the DG next to it.
And so this is the Crest Trail.
Correct.
And so if we're right here, up against the six-foot fence, mm-hmm. how good is that row of trees going to be?
That'll all be a length.
Is that going to be a substantial row of trees all the length of the property?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have the fence, the trees, and then a few, 3 feet from the trees, roughly, the trail starts.
Right, the DG part.
Now, how big are these trees going to be when they're planted? They look right now like they dwarf the six-foot fence.
Yeah, I mean,
are these trees actually to scale, or do I have to walk faster?
No, they wouldn't be to scale now. That's probably more of the maturity, but probably 50-gallon trees to start with.
I don't know what that means.
It's a bucket size. They'll be good size.
I'm sort of slender myself. I guess then we shouldn't worry too much about our privacy. The other question I had is on the water.
The detention, the culvert?
Yeah, the culvert and water. It seems like that would be overwhelmed by water amounts that I've seen run through the field. And how is that amount of water going to be mitigated and where? The last time we had the big flood, when there was snow up on the hill and the rain came,
mm-hmm.
we had a foot of water in our crawl space. Are we going to get more than that or less than that?
Getting off subject, sir. We're just here to discuss Parks and Rec, and I do apologize for interrupting. But that's for the Planning Commission, and they're going to be meeting on September 29th at, 5 p.m.?
Okay.
Or so they would be your best bet. Maybe Vince would be able to meet with you, sir, and allay some of your fears or answer your questions.
Sure.
Hopefully both. When did,
sure.
Can we I come to your office sometime when I'm wearing a gun?
As long as I can wear my flak jacket.
I'm a pretty poor shot. It probably hit me in the foot. But where is your office?
Okay, before we call...
Why don't we meet after the meeting? Yeah.
I'm going to leave now.
Okay.
Okay. Before I call our next speaker, I'd like to remind you that primarily our concern here tonight is the park and recreation component of the development. So if you have questions other than that, we are not the appropriate body. The Planning Commission would be your best avenue or resource to discuss those. And our next speaker is Patrick Anderson. Is that correct, sir?
Anderson.
Come on down and introduce yourself.
No relations to the Anderson family and their heirs. My name is Patrick Anderson. I live at 1502 Mountain Street. It's that half-acre corner there, right where the arrow is. I'm a former Open Space Advisory Committee member. I was on the board back in 98-99 when we were first looking at properties here in town to include in the plan. I was also a co-chair of the Economic Vitality Coalition. I believe that was about 2005, right before John Burkich left. And we took another look at these properties, only from a different lens. The first time it was as open space. Second time it was from an economic vitality component. And this parcel definitely made the list back in 98-99 because at that time it was a flood irrigated pasture. It was green, it was used actively for ranching, but three things occurred since that time. One was the cessation of flood irrigation. I believe that occurred around 2000 or so. They simply stopped watering the land. The second major event that occurred, which has led to the demise of that ecosystem, was the waterfall fire, which eradicated all the native plants up in the hillsides and the cheatgrass took over, other invasive species took over. Those species have now migrated down to that pasture. And what you have now largely is foxtails, cheatgrass, highly flammable cheatgrass, wild mustard, and Russian thistle, or tumbleweeds. And the third thing, unfortunately, that was the final straw in the health of that pasture was Ira's passing, and I believe that was around 2006 or so. With Ira's passing, that land ceased to be used as an active ranch. It is not an active ranch. It has not been an active ranch for probably a decade now. It's not green. It's 9 months out of the year. It's bone dry and brown and just waiting to light off. And we have a friction zone now in the middle of the west side. Because in one part of the master plan, we say this land is designated for development and zoned for development. And in another component of the master plan, we say we want to preserve it as open space. Those two have created a great deal of friction, a lot of which you're hearing in the speakers this evening. And for 15 years, since 2001, when the open space plan was approved, this city has had the opportunity to make a deal. They've had 15 years to reach out to the Andersons, and I know the open space program has multiple times, and we've had 15 years to close a deal on this land, and we cannot do so because this is not the vision that the Anderson family has for that property. So I think you can see that the Planning Commission is going to be quite a lively session in a couple of weeks, but for you guys here this evening, this is easy. Is this plan substantially in conformance with the trails element? And I would say absolutely yes.
Okay,
and
time.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
Oh, I'm
sorry. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Our next speaker is Jason Kuchniki. How do we pronounce that, sir?
Kuchniki.
Okay. All right.
Good evening, Commissioners. Thanks for having me. I do have a couple questions. Would that count against my minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll just stick to the point at this point. So I represent, I'm a member of SOS Carson City as well, Save Open Space, and just a couple clarifications to kind of backtrack here. I think there's a couple misperceptions that I'd like to clear up. First is that we're not lobbying for preserving the whole parcel property as open space. We realize that that's not where we're at. That's not possible given this existing time. So, you know, we're just here to try and maximize the open space, parks, and recreation benefits associated with this project. The other thing that I'd like to clear up with you is just the stop vintage signs. You know, that was kind of a precursor. As soon as the community meeting happened at Fritch Elementary School, if you were there, that was very contentious, and that's what happened. We do believe in constructive dialogue to turn this project around and maximize the benefits associated with it. So, you know, just realize that people really don't pay attention to, you know, it's kind of a something to gain attention and get people to focus in on this issue, because this is a huge issue for Carson City. Make no doubt about it. We have one chance to get this right. And this property is very special because it's so centrally located. It's a gateway property. It's a keystone property. So, you know, what we believe in is that Carson City's appeal is the primary driver of our prosperity and our future growth. And we believe that walkable communities with abundant open space, parks, and recreation opportunities are an undervalued asset that contributes immensely to the quality and appeal of our community. Studies have shown that open space parks and recreational opportunities are critically important for individual and community well-being. The Institute of Medicine has stated that improving the walkability of neighborhoods and increasing access to recreation facilities are essential strategies for preventing childhood obesity, which we all know is a factor in diabetes, both of which have skyrocketed in the past couple decades. A recent study published in Environmental Science and Technology demonstrated that participants in the study who moved to urban areas with more surrounding open space and recreational opportunities showed higher overall mental scores. These benefits are believed to be long-term because the participants were demonstrated to be happier and have less anxiety over the course of the 3-year study. Moreover, recent investigation shows that walkable neighborhoods also provide fiscal benefits to municipalities and homeowners. Obviously, the closer they, or what these studies found is that the closer that you live to open space, parks, and recreational opportunities, the more property value you have. This, what this does is this translates over to a increased tax revenue for the city.
Guess what? Time.
Is that 6 minutes?
Yeah, you're
Are you speaking for a group?
I'm sorry. So we get another three. Else from SOS.
Wait.
From SOS have spoken, so.
Everybody's from SOS except me.
Everybody is from SOS.
So what? What you had read earlier was if it was a representative of a group, it would be 6 minutes. If it was an individual person, it would be 3 minutes. So I think if there's a group, there should be one representative of that group that's speaking.
We didn't clarify that at the beginning.
So if somebody's coming up individually, it needs to be 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to submit these comments. I don't have very much longer. I think that these are some key things that will I'll skip over what the prep stuff.
We actually, we need to be consistent for the purposes of open meeting law. So if somebody else from the group wants to speak individually, they would have 3 minutes as well. But your 3 minutes are
okay,
up.
I was under the assumption that I would get 6 minutes. So that's a little unfair, I would say.
Both of your co-chairs have already spoken.
Because Mr. Scott had way more than 6 minutes.
I thought that, I'm sorry, but
apologies are necessary.
I think that these are important
comments.
Issues that, you know, can I just take one more minute maybe to expound upon that and get to where I was leading to? I spent a couple
Sir,
minutes
we
addressing
just, we,
some.
We need to be consistent for the purposes of Nevada law.
But if you'd like to drop a copy of your comments off, we could include them with the minutes.
Yeah, sure. What you'll be receiving are suggestions on how we can turn this project, which has minimized open space parks and recreational opportunities into something where you live, Ms. Curtis, Mrs. Curtis, in Long Ranch Estates. And there are ways to do that, okay? And this will be a much better community asset, and it will help our community thrive and prosper.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate your time. Our next speaker is John Horning. John? All right. Are there any other people who would like to speak? If you have not already spoken. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't fill this out earlier. I didn't have intention to speak.
Now, are you speaking for yourself, sir, or are you speaking for a group?
Speaking for myself.
All right. This is Jeff Foltz.
Yes.
All right. Introduce yourself and let her rip.
My name is Jeff Foltz. I have a few questions about the presentation this evening. Are the trails within the commission's purview, all of the trails?
Park. Yes, it's part of the park and recreational component, sir.
Okay. And are the internal trails open to the public? It wasn't made clear to me.
Vern?
That is my understanding, and I'm getting a nod from Mr. Scott, so that is correct.
Okay. May I ask why the internal trails are only 6 feet instead of 10 feet like the other trail?
Mr. Scott?
Are you referring to the 3 feet of DG on the left side?
If I may, maybe I should ask all my questions because I don't want to run out of time while I get a 2 minute response. I'd like to know why the internal trails are only 6 feet. I'd like to know if they're anticipated to accommodate bikes and pedestrians or not. I'd like to know where the soccer field might be. And it was my understanding that 2.5 acres would be dedicated. I believe I read that somewhere. Was that a condition of this commission or not? And finally, I'd like to receive a copy of the presentation, if I may, that was given tonight.
Okay. Mr. Scott, can you address the trail question?
you know, initially we didn't think that that side of the project, which would be, I guess, the north side, was going to be heavily traveled. It was pretty much initially for the residents, but I don't mind opening it up. I don't mind increasing the width if we need to. You know, it just cuts into the landscape buffer. You know, we can make that work if that's an issue. And then what were the other questions?
If it was going to be open bikes as well as pedestrians.
Mountain bikes? Yeah, I think that's the purpose of the DG trails. You can ride mountain bikes on there.
And where would the soccer fields be?
You know, I don't know exactly yet. I haven't really. We initially talked about putting them right there, right next to the pickleball courts. When you can, so you come and park, you come through the gate, the soccer fields would be right in there.
Isn't that where your vineyard is?
No, there won't be much vineyards in that area. I mean, no, we decided not to put any vineyards in the park because we don't want people eating them and, you know, getting sick.
If I could get a copy of the presentation.
Okay, you got it. No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your questions. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Patricia Clark, and I wanted to make a comment. It appears that the most vigorous opposition to this proposed plan is from the group known as the SOS. And so I really wanted to understand open space better. So before I came here today, I went online and I did some research. There's 157 square miles in Carson City. In your open space plan, which is available online, I pulled out a map and cursory examination of the map. I'm not an engineer, but everything in green is open space. I have the rough numbers. I don't know exactly, but I do know there's at least 50% of the entire city of Carson City, which is currently, I have to put my glasses on. I'll try and do this in 3 minutes. It visually appears, and I acknowledge I'm not an engineer, to be a minimum of 50% of the entire city, perhaps as much as 75 or more square miles, as well as the currently existing, that's vacant public land. Vacant public land, over 50% of your city, as well as the currently existing amount of vacant non-public land, which again visually appears to be about 25% of Carson City. It should be noted that a very, very large portion of this private land has serious constraints against development, such as slope issues, skyline issues, visibility issues. They're going to make development very difficult, if not impossible. Additionally, according to the latest open space acquisition listing by the City Park Recreation and Open Space Development, the city has acquired nearly 7,000 acres or approximately 11,000 square miles, 11 square miles of open space since the year 2000. Totaling these numbers, it becomes clear that Carson City is already blessed with at least 85 square miles or more of city or public controlled open space, with approximately 35 miles of privately owned vacant land, which is suitable for little or no development, for a total of an estimated 120 square miles of virtually open space, or 76% of the entire county. That leaves an estimated 37 square miles, or only 24% of the city, for existing and possible development, and which actually pays property taxes.
Patricia,
so it appears.
Time. Sorry. Would you like to leave a copy of your comments with us so they can go in the record?
Yes, I will. Do you want the map and the other things?
You don't mind.
Okay. I'll just give you the whole thing.
Can we give people, we know they have 3 minutes for dinner. Could we give them kind of a one-minute warning? I mean, 3 minutes total, but I'm feeling like we're kind of being harsh by saying, time's up, go away. And we don't mean to be, but kind of, hey, you got 30 seconds left.
Sure, this timer is right here, and the light is green. It goes yellow when there's 1 minute left.
Okay.
I can interrupt each time, but it might
No, I got you. I actually wasn't aware that those were lighting up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, is there anybody else who would like? Come on down. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Ursula Carlson. I have been a resident of Carson City since 1974. I'm a retired professor of English at the college. I have only a couple of observations. One, I'm also a big hiker. A 1.2-acre area in no way constitutes a park. It's a little patch. It's people's backyards are larger than 1.2 acres in many cases. I think you need to consider that in a serious way. I'm not opposed to the development, but by God, that is not a park. The so-called trail and trailhead, I think, is a total misnomer. This is not what a trail is, you know, an asphalt sidewalk going around a development. That makes it a trail. I mean, so we have trails all over Carson City. Every residential area has a trail on that basis. Those are two major points, I think. This makes no park, no trails. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate them. Would you like to come up, ma'am?
My name's Nancy Gammy.
Thank you.
And I've heard about how much land we have and all this, but the basic thing is in order to have any open spaces, we have to have water for it. At this point in time, the area they're talking about is supplied by Minden because Carson City doesn't have adequate water for that area. With the addition of the number of people that they'll be bringing in and will be consuming water, plus the addition of trees, which will not only go underneath the concrete that they're talking about, but into the other people's yards that are adjoining that, they're creating a real water situation that Carson City can't afford. So, I mean, before they start talking all of these things, we need water in order to have the beautiful areas that we have here. And our water is limited, and to go over the amount of water that we have available for this whole thing is absolutely ludicrous and very, very dangerous for the city of Carson City. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate them. Would you like to come on down, ma'am? Please introduce yourself.
Dixie Jennings Teets. Really, I think it's a question. I did some research, and I found that one of the homes on Bedford Way is on Trillia, so Longview. Is that the name of Longview? The Long Estates is on Trillia, and it showed it's selling for $499,000. It's a third of an acre, and it's 2,500 or so square feet. I'm just wondering why. When the response was given, when the presentation was given at the Rotary Club, the comment was said that the option would have been more crammed, when obviously there's another option, and that would be to have more spacious use. I'd really like to see a more spacious use map that is along the line of the Long Ranch Estates off Longview, that does have proper trails that we all consider together trails. We know what that means. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, appreciate it. All right, anybody else? Come on down. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Alexia Benshuf, and I'm a homeowner, and my house is right against the property, the eastern section of the Vintage Ranch. I live at the end of West Sunset Way. So my front and backyard will abut the property, and I have just a few comments about the trail. First of all, our family's really looking forward to this trail. We're going to use it a lot. We're really excited that this is a feature. We honestly would prefer not to have a 6-foot fence in our front yard. Right now, we don't have one. We do in our backyard, so we were going to suggest, if possible, perhaps we could consider putting the fence on the other side of the trail that goes on the south side of the property. And also, I wasn't at the beginning of the meeting, so I don't know if you talked about this, but I hope that you would consider adding pedestrian access to the trail at other points, like at West Sunset Way or possibly additionally Richmond Street on the south end. I think that would be nice. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Anybody else? Come on. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Please introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Leanne Sarm, and I have been here, born and raised, lived here my entire life. My whole family lives here. In fact, my great-great-great-grandfather was named the Mankins Park as part of my heritage. So I have a very deep, deep concern and value for Carson City and where we are going and what we're doing with these developments and open space. My first comment is, and I think a lot of people share that value because we voted in the quality of life initiative to actually have tax dollars to use to buy open space and have trails. So I'm not the only one that doesn't want just to cram and put gates up and fence everything off so that it doesn't feel open and like a small rural inviting hometown that we all have enjoyed for so many years. So that's my first one. The fences that I think are proposed around everything is just gives a, you know, stay out, private property, we don't want you in here. It does not have a public access feel to it. Okay, that's my first comment after listening, and I've seen several iterations of the proposed PUD, but that stands out to me as like, you know, stay out, basically, that it's for the residents only. In fact, several of the answers that were given to the questions were, that's for the residents. That's for residents and a guest, maybe, but for the residents, for the residents, for the residents. And I keep hearing that, and that concerns me. The other thing I think that I've been hearing that was concerning me is, you know, some of the answers from the developers, I think so, we're going to try, see if we fit it in. And some of those are concerning that they won't actually be followed through when the actual development is put in. So I, you know, in writing, getting some of that more nailed down with, is there going to be a soccer field or not? Not just maybe if it fits in. I also am concerned that the HOA fees are going to be very expensive, and for retired and elderly people to keep up with that and have that be a thriving HOA. We've seen many HOAs in this town, and they fall apart. They don't stay together. What is going to happen in 10 or 15 years to keep this type of space and these trails up to standard? I think it's going to end up going back to the city. I know that's one of your concerns, because I've seen it. I've seen those aging neighborhoods. That's what happens to them. So I also would like to say that if you park on Mountain Street and you take your bike or ride up or after work, I mean, it's 5 o'clock at winter. Dark at winter in wintertime at 5 o'clock. You take your dog up after work, you get locked out. Now you've got to walk miles around to get back to your home, you know. So, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. I apologize. So I just, those are my concerns. So thank you.
And we thank you for sharing them with us. We appreciate it. Anybody else? All right. Pardon? All right. We're going to close. Maxine. We're not taking any further public comment at this time. We're going to close it.
When I came up the first time, you limited me to rebutting the presentation. I still have a few questions of my own.
But we're only here for Parks and Rec, unless your rebuttal is regarding Parks and Rec.
No, my questions are regarding Parks and Rec. the issues that have been raised here tonight.
Iris, is this acceptable or?
I think we need to be consistent. We've told everybody they would have 1 3-minute session unless they were a representative of the group.
When I came up here, I was told by the chairperson that I could only do a rebuttal to the presentation that had just been made. And I said, I have questions also, and I'll be back later. I made that statement at the time.
Commissioner Glenn.
Yeah, if I may offer a suggestion, if your questions are written out, why don't you hand them to someone else and have them voice them? That way we can make sure that with the constraints of the 3 minutes for open meeting laws are followed and your questions get out.
My questions are just quick little handwritten notes here. I don't know if anybody else could read them. They're just quick questions. And I would basically hope that Mr. Scott would be able to take those questions down and come back with some answers on those.
Have we heard these questions before?
No.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
So, Iris, since I think that potentially she wasn't giving public comment, she was rebutting the testimony, that as long as she limits it to just, again, no more than 3 minutes and only parks and recreation discussion, because she was given incorrect information on her initial discussion. Everyone else followed the public comment section. But I think she was rebutting pursuant to the request of chair that she should just stick to the same 3-minute public comment. I understand.
My name is the Widow Neitz. I live on Long Street backing up to the Anderson Ranch. Part of the buffer zone is 60 feet in width along the north side, and part is only 30 feet in width. I'd like to understand why that is and why that is inconsistent. It should be 60 feet all around, as should the trails be the same width on the south side as they are on the north side. As far as the 6-foot tall iron wrought iron fences, on the north side, those east of Bolero, and on the south side, those east of Lexington, are going to be cheek by jowl right up against the fences of the existing homeowners, and that's going to create a place to gather in potential fire hazards such as tumbleweeds and for insects and rodents to burrow. And if they're going to be putting trees right up against the backs of people's homes, I suggest that they ask those people what kind of trees they would like. Thank you.
All right, we're going to close the public comment section of this right now. And I would ask if the commissioners have any questions or comments. Commissioner Lehman.
Okay, so I guess this is where we get to chime in. So I heard quite a bit about the 6-foot tall wrought iron internal fence here. And I know, I believe it was Leanne said she was looking forward to trails. Like I do live in the Long Ranch subdivision. When I saw that being built 20 years ago, we knew that's where we wanted to live. And in fairness, that's on ranch land. I know that is. But we all have, not all, half of us have gates that go right out our back fence onto the trails, which if there was a wrought iron fence, you couldn't do that. You'd bump right into a wrought iron fence. So it sounds like that might be something that would want to be revisited, is the wrought iron fence on the internal side. The other thing, then, this is the really important one for me, and hopefully I'd actually like to have this be put in the record at some point. We talked about trail connectivity, and this is huge for this commission, is trail connectivity. And the Anderson Capitol to Crest Trail, as much as pedestrians would use that, bicyclists aren't going to use that. They go up King Street. The middle school kids aren't going to use that. They go up King Street. Everybody uses King Street as the connectivity in this area, not that spot. We talked about that earlier, about putting the trail on there. I want to read from, it was a May 14th letter. It was, here's what it is, Nevada Appeal. May 14th, Kim Anderson colored guest column, the Anderson Ranch Balancing the Past and the Future. What she says here, and I'd like to even put this into the record if we can, is she says, in all our discussions with the city and potential developers, we have committed and insisted that whatever will become of the land, there will be multi-use public trail extending from Mountain Street to connect with the open space trails west of the ranch. Now, in bold, this is what we need to understand here. She says, we also have agreed to contribute land for a multi-use path on our heritage property along the northern edge of Kings Canyon Road. That's public record. She wrote that to the paper. That needs to be included. That is the connection that we're missing. She said it. It's in the newspaper. She publicly stated that. So that needs to be included as part of this, is the trail along Keats Canyon River. Mr. Scott here has told us that he would pay for that. I mean, this commission would be crazy to not take him up on it. We need to make sure that that is part of this plan. That's my two cents.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody
else? So what I'd like to do, if Mr. Scott could come back up, is I'd like to try and run through the public comment that I heard this evening. And I wrote down the questions that I heard the public coming up with. And so I'd like to address those issues and see if we can come to terms here as a commission so we can make some recommendations. And so hopefully I got down everything you guys were asking. I tried. So the first issue dealt with the trail size. I heard from several of the public that were concerned about the size of the trail going around and the consistency of that sizing. So there was a 30-foot, a 60-foot. So can you address that question for us on whether we can have consistent sizing of the trail, why or why not?
And Rebecca,
you could call up an expert helper if you need to.
I might need my expert helper on this. Yeah.
So the difference between the 30-foot and the 60-foot is really just about the layout. It was really easy here, really easy to get the 30 feet through here, and then this push to 60 just to get the street in and make this all work with the lot layout. That's the only reason. It would all be 30 feet.
So is 30 feet, so maybe I can combine this with staff so I have an understanding. Existing trails that we have throughout the community, are they 30 feet? So, or do they range everywhere from, let me guess, 10 feet to 60? I mean, is it within range to be 30 feet is my question.
You're talking about the distance. Our typical standard path is an AASHTO standard path, minimum of 10 feet wide. We like 12, but minimum of 10-foot wide AASHTO path. And then in working with the developer, we went with the minimum AASHTO size path and then the 3-foot DG path for running, mountain biking, those kind of things. So they're providing a 13-foot wide surface for multi-use through the development. And so that's what that is. And I see that more as a multi-use facility versus the internal trail. Now that's up to them to finally decide, but in some of the discussions we've had, I think they were envisioning most of that 30-foot buffer area with the path through it as being more for pedestrian. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Right. Okay, so that meets the definitions and the requirements that we have for paths. Then the next question that I heard from the public and maybe a discussion point is the 6-foot fencing that's going all around. Can you explain to me what the need is to actually do that outer fence? Because you would have all the public access from all the points for the community to enjoy the park if we didn't fence it. So why do you feel fencing and gating is necessary?
Well, we offered to put additional gates in all the side streets for pedestrian access. It's more, with this clientele, especially some of the older assisted living people, it's more for security to keep them contained somewhat. This is not a 6-foot tall wood picket rickety old fence. It's going to be nice design feature. It'll have vines creeping on it. It'll have beautiful mature trees backing up to it as a buffer. And, I've done this in Tahoe many, many times, and it turns out to be a beautiful, ornate structure. It's not a ugly fence, and we'll provide as many openings as we need to. But Maxine is right, in a way, in that you'll have the wood fence, and then you'll have our fence right next to it. And I'd rather not do that, but the fences that are there right now don't look real good, so I'd rather not use those fences. So I'd rather do something that's nice, that looks better.
If a neighbor that has one of those fences wants to come through your wrought iron fence and put a gate in, would that be allowed?
I'm good with that. Yeah. And, just a clarification, and this is not a threat, as Maxine had mentioned, is the setback right now for single-family zoning is only 10 feet. Okay? That's what is the setback right now, around the perimeter of that property. We're going 30 feet plus. So it's not like we're encroaching or cheating or anything. We're trying to create enough buffer and open space around the entire perimeter of the project that works for the community, works for our residents, and still looks and feels like there's plenty of common area open space.
You guys, I'm just going to, okay. Then the next discussion was on the size of the park. And so pursuant to our master plan, the size of neighborhood parks is 1 to 7 acres. And that's the definition of a neighborhood park. So this park meets the requirements of the master plan for the size of the neighborhood park, correct?
Supervisor Bagwell, so I think what a clarification that might assist the audience is if you could go over the total acreage of not only that one park, but include the linear park concept, because I think it seems segregated and it's not part of the whole thing.
Right.
And we discussed that being, you know, part of the overall concept for park
right.
And
recreation. I think that's where the original 2.5 acres included the linear portion. So we just outlined the park portion, and the linear portion didn't really take into consideration the additional acreage. So if you add all that in, it might be closer to 2.5 acres.
I believe Commissioner Curtis has a question.
I appreciate what you're saying, but for example, Schultz Ranch, I think they had proposed originally a 2-acre park. It went to 3.5. So, you know, I understand we have a definition of a neighborhood park that goes from 1 to 7 acres, but aren't there other factors that should be involved, like population? There's, 308 persons expected, if I'm reading the charts right, you know, from the small houses to the big houses, assuming, you know, there's just 2 people per unit and no more. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, is there any other way that we can measure this in terms of the size of the park versus the number of people that are going to be primarily using it?
Mike, you want to address any of that? There's existing neighborhood parks in that neighborhood right now, correct? If you're talking about overall park usage for the area?
Maybe I can address that a little bit.
Okay.
In the information you provided under Exhibit, I believe it's Exhibit A, actually, it talks about a number of parks that are already identified in that. So if you could go in your packet to Exhibit A. And it talks in neighborhood A under observation. It says this neighborhood has 3 small parks to provide general coverage, augmented by 2 schools that provide open areas and some recreational facilities. One of the other things that has happened since the master plan was adopted, Treadway Park was also accepted into the park system at that point. So when we work with a developer, we try to identify what is currently in the neighborhood, how can we then be fair and proportional, if you will, to what we're asking for. I mean, I know we've had this discussion previously about what's proportionality and what's the right thing to be doing. And so, anyway, in working with the developer, that was the one point that was of a defined park space, if you will, 1.2 acres. Now, look up on the presentation that Mr. Scott gave. They're talking about the access easement area. If you talk about the trail area associated with that, now you're talking about another 1.2 acres. So we've approached it from a staff's perspective of trying to look at it from a trailhead park and linear park concept with the park horses along it. So even though it's not, you know, 2 acres or 2.5 acres in one spot, we felt that it was commensurate with the development, that this would work well with the development. When you start talking about adding park horse facilities to the trail, the amenities that Mr. Scott has provided with the gazebo and open, he uses the word soccer field, we prefer multi-use field, simply it's just large open turf area, and with pickleball courts and racquetball courts, and of course the porta potty that's going into the trailhead development. So a lot of the things that you would see in a neighborhood park are in this facility, commensurate with what the development is talking about. In other words, we're trying to accommodate not only the neighborhood, but also what this development is trying to accomplish in its vision for the community and its development. Does that help?
Well, actually, because Schultz Ranch also has a lot of open space and trails, and you know that, and so does Lompa. And I think the parks in those areas are bigger, but I don't know if the number of units, I don't remember right now if there's actually more people involved as well. And therefore, that's what I was looking for as a comparison in terms of people versus acreage, I guess. Maybe you have it.
Sure. Good evening. For the record, Mike Raley with Rubicon Design Group. We went through the similar process on Lompa Ranch here not too long back. And working with Vern, if you look at the neighborhood park we did there, the population generation estimates, for example, on Lompa Ranch is up to 2,500 units. So, and these are also, it's important to consider, the age-restricted units. So you're not, you don't have units that are generating kids. Kids are big users of parks, for example, which drive different facilities in the parks. So Lompa Ranch, we have a neighborhood park with lots of playgrounds and that sort of thing, which wouldn't really benefit in this area because there are existing parks with those, and the new population coming in is not going to drive a demand for those. So you have to kind of wait off, and this, is what we determined would best meet the needs of Vintage as well as the surrounding neighborhood.
So then my next question really revolves around HOA versus landscape maintenance district. And so I share a concern that if it's in the HOA and the HOA goes bankrupt or doesn't meet its needs, then we have a park in disarray with no funding sources. So another question is, and again, it may be something that we're think tanking here, but should we not actually do a landscape maintenance district that's 100% funded, which would be the same answer money-wise as an HOA, but it guarantees us the long-range answer in a landscape maintenance district? Doesn't matter whether the HOA exists. So the HOA could run it, but we have it underlined with a landscape maintenance district. So it's just a thought that I really want to put out there to protect the park in perpetuity and to ensure that the trails and the park system is always cared for. So I really believe we should do 100% landscape maintenance district. It won't change the cost to your homeowners, but it will protect the land for the community in perpetuity. So I bring that up as a discussion point.
Just kind of add a question maybe to our attorney, but isn't it required? Aren't developments required to have a landscape district?
I don't actually know the answer off of the top of my head, but I'd be happy to look it up and get back to you.
I'm thinking that when we put the landscape district ordinance together, it was going to be a requirement of,
it's, you know, project by project that we did the landscape maintenance districts. And so we do it each project.
I guess my question is, why wouldn't we?
I kind of got to go with you there.
Yeah, my answer is I'm okay either way.
So you're all right with 100% landscape maintenance district. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So if the fence, does the position of the fence matter whether it was an HOA or whether it was a maintenance district?
No.
And also, we said dawn till dusk, but if the fence, I'd probably prefer to not see a fence, but if the fence does happen and is on the inside of the trail, then would that provide the community with accessibility to that trail even at night when it's 5 o'clock in the winter and you want to go for a run, you still have access to do that, or whether you want to walk your dog. And I don't know if that ties into a maintenance district, but I think that's something I'd like to see would be the accessibility. Dawn till dusk, I think the intent by it, but when we're talking winter time, 5 o'clock in the evening when you come home is a perfectly fine time to go walk the dog.
I agree. I was just trying to comply with the current parks and recreation rules.
Right.
And, if you want to extend it an hour each, 2 hours, I'm sure. Good. Or maybe, like you say, summertime might be a couple hours longer, whatever.
Yeah, understood.
We could work with the developer. Should it be inside the fence in the end and there's a trail system, I think we could do a maintenance and operation agreement, and we could negotiate the terms of that and perhaps, work mm-hmm. with the developer on some other options on that.
Okay, and including maybe just leaving it open so that you don't have to get locked out if you're there outside of the hours of the operating time.
My understanding is they want a secure facility and a gated community, so if that's something that changes, that's something I would make sure that you're clear on trying to suggest, for sure.
Okay.
Now, I have a question. Would the gates be clearly marked with signage indicating that this was a public entrance and make the public feel warm and welcome so that, you know, stay back? We don't want that.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was one of the conditions Vernon had there, that everything would be signed and clearly marked. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Call me an idiot. The park is fenced. The actual park has a fence around it. Or is the fence around the community?
The fence is around the community, not the park. The park is, in a portion of it is through the fence. As you park, you just walk through a fence to the trailhead.
So the park is fenced. There are gates, iron gates around the park.
A portion of it, yes.
Can we get locked in is the question?
I don't think so. It'll probably be designed where you can always get out, but, you know, I just, we can work through all that. I don't really, you know, I want you to have the park be able to use it, have the community use it, and everybody use it. We just need to be concerned about safety, liability. You know, we want to address all those things. I'm good, you know.
Perhaps we could, as one of your suggestions to the Planning Commission, that any future operation and maintenance agreements be negotiated and come back to this board for additional comment if we get into these operational type issues that aren't really part of to the level of the PUD. Perhaps that could be reserved back so we can get into, yeah, an operations agreement and the details of that.
Thank you. Commissioner Glenn?
Yeah, Vern, do we have other parks that are fenced in? And if so, what are they? Just to get an idea, but like the comparison.
I can't think of any that are off my head that are completely fenced because we don't close or we don't close gates, we don't open gates. Neighborhood parks typically are open to the community. So I'm just trying to think out loud here. I don't think so. No.
So this would be our first fenced in park. I just want to make sure I'm not an idiot.
It's not fenced, but
do you want to? Maybe somebody can clarify, because is the blue the fencing? So maybe we can just have clarification on what is or isn't fenced.
Okay, so the parking lot where you come in here, where the star is, okay, that'll be the trailhead. That is not fenced, okay? And then the blue will be the perimeter fencing, but the park is on the inside of that. It'll be open to the project, and then that'll be the linear portion that continues down there. I mean, so the answer is a portion of it is gated. It's not completely fenced. Yeah.
I mean, according to the
I'm open to design it however you want to do it. I'm dedicating it to you, and you tell me what design you'd like, and I'll do it.
According to your fencing slide, it is fenced. So it would be within your gated community, the park would be. So I think they're asking, is it an option to have it outside the fence?
Yes.
Maybe similar to Arrow Creek, like in Reno, where you have the park outside of the fence. Mm-hmm. The park is always open and available to the public. But then the trail system, you have the gates shut, you know, at those hours to protect that community. But
sure,
those are open. But you wouldn't need, like, a key card to go on the trail system to access the gates. So I think that's what they're asking, is for clarification on exactly what you have proposed and what you're open to.
I'm open to keeping it open as long as we, you know, it works for everybody. I'm okay with that. I mean, we want to create a little delineation between, you know, our project area and the neighbors, but still keep it open for park and public access. I'm open to keeping it open right here in front, you know, and then maybe run some sort of security fence on the inside so the park is open.
Perhaps a suggestion or a compromise in the middle would be the fencing could start behind the fence, and then you'd have a gate or multiple gates, however the developer would see fit, so that way the public could always get out, or the residents in the community in Vintage could out and be able to access that through those gates, but then the public can always access it from the Mountain Street trailhead, and it's like kind of seamless. It wouldn't have that entry gate like Commissioner Glenn was describing.
what I didn't want the feel to be, so you have the wood fence on the outside, and then if we move our fence to the inside so that it's all open, then it would kind of have this tunnel effect with fence on one side and an interior gate on the other. So I thought, well, this would be a better compromise. But I'm okay either way. I'm open to suggestions.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, kind of just a different subject for a minute. And maybe Mr. Anderson back there could finish his story. We got to the tumbleweed and the cheatgrass. And what I'm wondering now is this, are you saying that this is no longer capable, the property, of being a ranch? I mean, has it pretty much been turned over ecologically into a different system now that, you know, we would, and what would we have to do to try to even bring it back?
Well, I do think the ecosystem as we first envisioned it back in 1988 and 89 as a flood irrigated agricultural pasture, that does not exist anymore. You would need to invest substantial amount of money into remediating what has occurred to that land now to convert it to a park or to get any sort of natural vegetation going again in there. I don't know. I don't want to violate any open meeting laws or anything. I think it's a great project. I think the developer has come a long way to meet the needs and the demands and the requests of people in this community. I plan on utilizing his fencing because I like having that open, you know, metallic fencing and knowing that there's going to be vineyards and landscaping just on the other side. It's going to make my property bigger by ripping down the stuff that I have currently as perimeter fencing for my property. So I think we're getting hung up on a lot of little small things that I don't think we need to obsess over. I just, you know, it's time to fish or cut bait on this land. The Andersons clearly are not interested in selling this land to the city and preserving it as a park or open space. So I like the project. I love it, actually. I think it's going to be a great addition to this community if people will just calm down and give it a chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
There were a couple other questions from the public that I think are important to clarify. One was trail access from adjacent neighborhoods, so that might be something that could be clarified, where that access is. Someone specifically asked between the south and the north side and adjacent neighborhoods.
I thought he indicated and already that he was going to do it.
I know, but
four.
Where that access would be from the neighborhoods was asked. And then there was a question about defensible space in that buffer area. And it sounds like that's going to be a landscaped area, so more of like a turf area, defensible space. So that would definitely improve the defensible space situation from as it exists today. Because right now you have high fuels, you have a lot of cheatgrass and weeds, as they indicated. So it sounds like it's all going to be that buffer area is going to be landscaped, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Lori, do you have any more questions?
This is just Commissioner Curtis talking about using the land as a ranch. This is interesting that what Mrs. Anderson Collard said is that they plan to continue to operate the 50-acre heritage parcel that stretches from King Canyon Road to some distance north of Ash Canyon Creek as a working ranch, much like the original Danish farm. So for what that's worth.
Just regarding fences, so Vince, it's maybe kind of targeted towards you, but it, would it be okay with the fences with if once the wrought iron fence is up? We said that you could provide gates if the homeowner wanted a gate. Can they also just tie their fence straight in so they could take their wooden fence down?
Yeah, that would be, a really good option.
Okay.
I'd be totally open to that.
Okay.
Because I think it does create a pretty funky situation with a leaning wood picket fence and a nice new fence with landscaping. So, I mean, I would be totally, but then you end up having half a wood with a nice fence and so I don't know.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. But I'm open to that.
Possibly we could you could send out a public notice to everybody affected by it and they could they could be a part of that.
Yep. For sure.
And I planned on the gates right next to where the side access roads for fire purposes would be, so that they're consistent with the secondary access points. And then we can add a few more where some of those roads just kind of abut and they stop. But the comment was made that will people end up parking there and using that as their own little entrance into the park? And so I kind of want to be sensitive to that too, because some of the neighbors around there are obviously concerned about any sort of traffic or cars. So just need to think about that.
Any other questions or comments? All right. I think we're ready for discussion. All right. Lori?
So I guess for us as the commission up here, it's one, do we want it completely fenced, or do we think that potentially we should have like the Mountain Street trailhead not fenced so that it's public access? I think that's a decision point that we need to make as a group so we know what
the park or the trailhead?
The park. Well, you access the park from the trailhead, and do we want it fenced, yes or no? No, but do we want that open? Not take, we want it open, to have an open park access. Or yes. Where do we want it open? So is that
my
a common?
Answer is yes, I think we want it to be open on the mountain side.
On the mountain street side.
Where you would park and be able to access it.
Is that a consensus? Okay. That's one thing.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would like to see a condition, if we could, that there be access along King Street, that the developer
access.
Would build access, safe passage along King Street.
Yeah, we've got a property owner that says she's willing to give that land, and a developer saying he's willing to build it. I think that does need to be conditional. This is the only time that we'll ever get that done. It won't happen if we don't know.
Let me ask the technical question. I don't believe we can condition this project on something else for someone else to do on their land. I don't think we can do that. It's not the 50 acres is not a piece of this project. So I don't believe that would be, I can't condition this project on someone else's land.
The property owner specifically said they've had discussions and they're willing to give that land up for that.
But I can't condition this on it.
We could.
No, we can't. No. I don't think we can.
Perhaps
legally.
We could do something outside the PUD and work with the developer and that outside of this project to make that connection happen.
I thought my understanding that she said she would do it as a separate project potentially. It's not conditioned on this project. So I don't think she's still saying no. I think it's just not conditional to this.
We can work with community development and the DA's office to see what we can do to make that happen.
Well, then as part of any action, it needs to be at least clarified that that's part, whatever the verbiage is, that needs to be included in our action item. Yeah.
Well, I think where it is, I guess, important is from the perspective of this new development is that these trails would provide access, and these are not really the access points to get from point A to point B. They are great. Like, this is the way this line's been for 15 years or whatever it's been completely unusable. Nobody from the public has access to it. So even if the park may be on the smaller side in comparison to maybe another area, that's still another 2 acres we're getting that we've never had access to, as well as the ability to get through from the mountainside. So I think there is a lot we're gaining, but that is not, I just want to, I guess, make it clear that that's still not the connectivity point that we really need from Unified Pathways Master Plan.
How about the idea is if the Andersons grant the land, that then he agrees to put it in? Could we not put that as a future, that if she does donate the property, he would then do it? Because that we could condition, right? That he agrees to put the access in if she grants it. How about, is that a fair
That's fair, but just...
I can't make her do it, but if she does, then he would do it.
And this is just comments to be provided to the Planning Commission, so...
Madam Chair, can I make a suggestion just to maybe try to keep this a little on track? Maybe we should go from the big picture to the smaller picture. And so in the recommendation that staff put out is that the key thing for this evening in my mind is not only the big picture but the smaller things that we're going to be talking about, where the fencing is going to go. But in my mind, we need to make a determination, or the commission needs to make a determination, whether or not the proposed development with the park and with the trail meets the conditions of the pathways plan as well as the Parks and Rec master plan. And that's what I put in the staff report as the first discussion point, that maybe if we could focus on that is does these plans as proposed are basically compliant or in substantial compliance with those two master plans. And then from there, maybe we could get down into more of the individual comments that we would like to supply to the Planning Commission. Just a suggestion.
Would you like to lead the discussion on that?
No.
No.
So I think we already actually went through the part that they are in substantial compliance with the plan. I think we already did that, Vern. Now we're down to the actual pieces that we would like the developer to enhance, change, or the detail. So I thought we ran through that it already met the 1 to 7 acres. It already met. So unless I'm missing something, I think we already agreed it meets the substantial requirements.
Correct, and that's the consensus that I was getting from the commission, but we would like to have a motion.
Oh, we're not to motion yet. Oh, we'll get it there.
Okay, all right.
We'll get there.
Okay, I'm just trying to get this thing.
We're getting close.
We're getting close, but that was just what I think we're looking for, at least at staff level, is that does the commission believe that it's in compliance or substantial compliance with the two master plans being discussed in relationship to the project?
Right.
And that's the consensus I'm getting. And if we get to that motion a little later, that's fine. But that's what I'm sensing, okay?
Yeah, we just can't make the motion until we have the rest of the pieces. So, we're at no fencing at the Mountain Street so that we have access all the time. If there's development by the Anderson that grants property, that he agrees to put that access in for the King Street.
And I can agree up front to contribute funds towards that, so... If I ever have a choice or in control of it, then
we can work something out.
I think we estimated 50 grand, something like that, to run that piece.
And then the other discussion point that we were up to is whether we want HOA or whether we want to recommend landscape maintenance district, and that the landscape maintenance district could then come back here for the operations and maintenance plan to make sure that we're all in agreement, and he also agreed to do that. So we would be asking for landscape maintenance district at 100%.
Can I make one suggestion under that, since you'll have, based on your suggestion, the park outside the fence and a landscape maintenance district, the trail system that's available to the public within the fence, I would recommend having a pedestrian public access easement to ensure that regional trail connectivity always exist for future generations. So when we're not all here, that easement provides that access.
In reading through the plan, I didn't see that it was dog friendly. I didn't see there were restrooms. Do we need to say that or?
Yes.
Okay.
Quick question. Do we only have to, can we make multiple motions or we have to do one? And can we do a motion for this and then a motion for that? Since we have different things.
You can do whatever you'd like to do just as long as the record is clear.
We're going to have to incorporate this document actually into the record because this gives you the dog friendly. It was missing restroom, so we'll add restroom. And signed access would be added. We wanted public signs on all the access points.
Jennifer?
There's, just for the restroom question, there is utilities at the Mountain Street Trailhead site already, so if that was desired at the Trailhead location, there's the ability to tie into existing utilities.
I think we have that desire.
Vern, can you clarify, what are the dotted lines going from north to south? Is that just the phases?
Yeah, that's my understanding that those are the that line, and these other lines that kind of do this are the phasing lines of the project.
Okay, I was hoping maybe that they might be some sort of accessibility to get from north to south without having to follow a box around. So would it be, Vince, is that something that you'd be willing to consider?
The question is accessing from north to south?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple references to the Longview when they did those trails, but the way they kind of meander through the community.
Cut through the trail somewhere?
Right. And then for an example, I don't live in the Longview community, but I often run those trails because they're enjoyable and they kind of meander around the community or kind of through the community, not around it, I guess. And I'd like to see that here if possible. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then there's also that where, you know, you can imagine somebody walks their dog out and around, and rather than having to go all the way back out and around, they could just cut back straight across, that kind of.
I think we can make that work. We have the technology.
So we want to see an internal.
A little bit more of an internal meandering type.
Yeah, trail
type
system.
Feel.
Mm-hmm.
North-south trail connection.
And yeah, north-south, and then maybe that's where, you know, a compromise. Maybe it doesn't need to be 15 feet or whatever, but something that would allow both public and the residents within to be able to.
Okay.
Have connectivity.
All right.
What else? Anything else?
May make one more suggestion. Since we talked about inside the fence, the trail would have the public access easement over it, knowing that linear park concept is sort of an extension of the park, perhaps putting a public access easement over the linear park component as well, so we know that the public can access that part, but that since that will be inside the fence, that way it's clear what's available for the public to use and enjoy.
So a deed, like a deed restriction, an easement that's recorded?
Not a deed restriction, but a recorded public access easement over that component, and you could just do that on your final map as a note. It doesn't have to be a separate detailed document. It should be pretty simple.
Okay. I'm getting the official nod. It's good to go.
Can I ask, I did see something in the plan about a shuttle system. How does that work? And is that, like, if I want to go to, you know, the park and I'm over there, can I get a shuttle over there, or how is that supposed to work?
The shuttle system was designed to be for the residents, but, you know, we're going to put a bus stop right in front of our property for public transportation if needed. So I'm not sure what you're asking. If you're saying,
well, if I'm a resident and I clear over there and I've got the cane and, you know, can't quite make it over to the park, but I want to get over there, or
golf cart would be.
Yeah, or is there something like that that's going to be available?
Yes.
Okay.
High-powered Tesla golf carts.
I thought we were talking about a wine train or
something. Maybe.
Ready to make motions? Lori is writing. I see her, but then I think Sean also wanted to make a motion of his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just the smaller secondary motion, I guess. So I move that, being as the Anderson family has agreed to contribute land for a multi-use path on their Northern Heritage property along the northern edge of Kings Canyon Road, and the developer of the Vintage at Kings Canyon has agreed to develop that path,
that we strongly encourage the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors to take advantage of this opportunity.
Second.
Any discussion?
I'm going to vote no on that, not because I don't want to take advantage. I just don't think I can hold Mr. Scott's development. So if it's just try to make it all happen, I will support that. But I'm not going to condition it. So can I clarify? It's just to work together to try and make it happen. Okay, I can agree with that.
This is what we would like to happen.
Right. I can live with that. We want to work together, but I just don't want it.
Yeah, I think his words were strongly encouraged. So,
we can work
with
that. Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those against? The motion carries. Commissioner Bagwell, are you ready for yours?
How did I get? Oh, boy.
Let's give this a try and see if we get it all in there, and then you guys can help me with anything we missed. I move to recommend that the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors approve the park and path facilities as proposed by the Vintage Kings Canyon applicant based on its compliance with City Parks and Recreation Master Plan and Unified Pathways Master Plan as updated by the handout today of September 16th. 616, and including a restroom, signed access points. I got more. Sorry. And that, where's that we have here? Hold on. The mountain street would be open without the fencing. That we would do a 100% funded landscape maintenance district, with the operations and maintenance plan coming back to the Parks and Rec for development, and that a public access easement for the trail and linear park be recorded on the maps, and that a north-south trail connection be integrated into the plan. Did I get everything we talked about? Did I miss anything?
Got everything.
The fencing?
I did the fencing. No fencing on Mountain Street access point.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against? The motion carries.
Thank you for
coming tonight, for giving us your time and your comments on this proposed project, especially as it relates to the Parks and Rec component. And I think we're going to take a 5-minute recess right now, and we'll meet back at 8:07. 8:10. Reconvene the September 6, 2016 meeting of the Parks and Recreation Commission. Mm-hmm. All right, we have all our commissioners. All right, let's move on to agenda item 4, staff updates only. And we're going to hear an update on the 2 arson attempts at the Foreman Roberts House. Jennifer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. Just a brief update, I'm sure if you've seen in the news, we've actually had, we did have one vandalism occurrence. There was 2 indigent males that got into a fight and 2 windows were broken out of the house, and then that was followed up by 2 separate arson attempts. There's been a lot of press and a reward, thankfully, out there. There has been an arrest made. The investigation is still open as to whether or not there were accomplices or other details of that. I don't have that information right now, but we've been cooperating with the sheriff's office and the police department. They've been wonderful and really being proactive in trying to get a hold of this situation. We're working with the Historical Society. We do have a lease for operation of that facility. Their insurance, they have all of the contents they're responsible for under their insurance, and then the city is responsible under our insurance for the house. and the actual structure of the house. So we're working together with them. And then we're also, I've reached out to the State Historical Preservation Office as well, because it is on the list of a National Register of Historic Places. So there's covenants on that land and certain guidelines that we have to go by when we restore the house and protect it. And there was a lot of smoke damage. So we're trying to work with all of our partners to make sure that we restore the house in a safe manner. And we just did testing, so there's no asbestos, but there is lead. Obviously, that's pretty consistent with the time of, you know, paint and materials that were used to construct that house. So we're working with all of our partners to make sure that, you know, we restore the facility back to what it was. And hopefully this is the individual that was apprehended, and we don't have additional instances throughout the community.
Oh, we appreciate that. We appreciate all your hard work with the different agencies and entities.
Thank you. They're very wonderful to work with.
And the Wanganeema family reached out to me. They were worried about the Wanganeema house in Mills Park, and Jennifer graciously agreed to up the patrols by both the park ranger and the maintenance staff to make sure that house is safe, just in case the individual who was apprehended has accomplices or somebody else gets an idea to be a copycat.
The more eyes, the better. And for the public watching this, anytime, especially after dark, you see activity, it's probably not good activity. So that's when both arson attempts were took place, were in the middle of the night. So we want to make sure that the public is also part of this. And we want to take care of our public spaces. And anybody that sees anything out of the ordinary, please report it. Call non-emergency dispatch to the sheriff's office, and you know, just keep an eye on all of these areas that are so special to the community.
Thank you. Any other staff comments? Vern, do you have anything?
Okay.
Public comments? Comments from the commissioners? Uh-huh. We'll move on to agenda item 5, members' announcements and requests for information. I've got a couple. As you know, I serve on the traffic committee for Carson City. And at the last couple meetings, Jennifer, the issue of pedestrian safety between Mills Park and State Street has been raised. So I'm not sure whether or not streets will reach out to you or they're looking for any input from you, but it's just something to be advised that the committee is quite concerned about that. And then I read the story in the paper about the pool. Thank you for taking care of that. And I just wanted to say that on behalf of the commission, if there ever are any maintenance issues with any of the facilities, would you please bring them to our attention, and we'll do whatever we can to help you.
We'd be happy to do so. Thank you.
All right. Does anybody else have any announcements or requests for information?
Yes. Only comment, maybe something we can do. Is this for future, or is this the next one? Sorry, I might be jumping ahead.
We're waiting for Commissioner Cassiopo's report.
I'll keep it short. I just thought I would take this time, Jennifer, to kind of thank Parks and Rec. You know, being the school board liaison, we enjoy a nice relationship with the city. We share each other's fields for the purpose of the kids and the community and whatnot. And we just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the city. It's something that I know Mr. Stokes would want to reach out and say we really enjoy that relationship we have, not just with the city, but with the businesses in town. You know, we have a partnership with WNC on other type items, and just wanted to say thank you. I know you being new, I thanked Roger about a year ago, so I thought, hey, I'll just thank Jennifer.
No, we appreciate that, and I know from the staff perspective, we really appreciate our relationship with the school board and the staff, you know, at the schools, because we have a really great relationship with just the maintenance staff, the operations staff, and it's really a tight-knit family, I think, and regardless of organization, it's nice how well everybody works together.
Yeah, I think it's another example of just how the city does work together well. I mean, I've been to commission meetings and whatnot in other areas, and it doesn't always work as well as it does here. We're not perfect, but we work pretty well together, so thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to future agenda items. Brett?
Yes, a couple things, but one, I don't know, I don't follow it that closely, but I understand that they're going to stop softball and baseball at WNC. Is this true? I think
softball
this is true, right?
It's
okay. So question is about, like, what they're going to be doing with that field, and then if there's possible things that maybe we could have a mutual agreement or something with the, I guess it would be the state, right? But I don't know how that works. But it'd be, is that something that you could look into and maybe get back to us on?
So I don't have the backstory. Can you briefly give me?
Okay, so WNC at the college used to have a couple, and Commissioner Glenn, do you want, you know probably more about it than I do, but I just know they've had two, you know, teams for years, and they announced just like a couple years ago that I think it's, it sounds like maybe it's finished now. I thought it was going to be maybe one more season. But so they have built a facility. It's a nice, they have a nice baseball facility and everything up there. It's synthetic surface and all that. And now it kind of seems like it's all for none. And so maybe there's something that we could use, you know, work out a mutual agreement for the community to be able to use that.
We can reach out to WNC, see what their plans are for that, and if there's a way we could perhaps include the Youth Sports Association or some other sort of conversation. Let me look into that, and then we can provide an update back to the commission. Would that be?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
I know I've seen a little bit of soccer activity recently, so maybe somebody's already starting to work things out.
Okay.
But yeah, it'd be cool.
My understanding is they're beginning a club soccer team, and they're using it for that. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not more potential there. I think it's a great idea if that, you know, if that field can be used more in the community, you know, for the club soccer as well as other activities, that'd be awesome. But baseball and softball, there's no chance, unfortunately, that they're coming back. And the reason club soccer, I believe, can go there is because it doesn't require state funding. Right. So
Commissioner Glenn, from a baseball standpoint, is the high school field better or the college field better if you were doing a tournament or something like the state high school championship or something?
I can't say for certain. I've actually never been on the WNC field or the high school field for that matter, but my understanding is the WNC is synthetic surface and the high school is not. My understanding is the high school field is the pride and joy. You know, it's like it's wonderful. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of one of those questions, like when you talk about soccer, is artificial turf or grass better? Nothing beats grass if it's well maintained. The high school is a nice facility, but so is WNC. I mean, it's pretty spectacular. And just to follow up on that, they are using it for soccer. They're talking about doing intramural play and things like that with it, as well as club soccer. So I think they're still testing the waters, if you will. But I think if they get to club soccer and whatnot, you're going to see YSA and whatnot raise their heads up and go, you know, hey, how can we join in on this?
We're definitely underserved in this community. We need more fields. We never have enough field space. So if there's an opportunity for any shared use, I think that's a great one. So we'll reach out to WNC, see what we can find out, and we'll report back to the commission.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then the other, this was kind of more just something I've noticed, but about a year ago, I guess you can call it a coyote problem. I think there's always probably coyote problems, but maybe there was an influx in the amount of activity and some people's dogs getting affected and stuff. But so signs were put up everywhere. But so now, I was just thinking, now every day you run by the sign that reminds you that it's coyote territory, and I wonder how effective are they? So is it something that maybe it'd be worth maybe looking at maybe removing them? But because there's other things like rattlesnakes are out there, and where do we stop kind of thing? So I understand it's the public safety kind of part of it, but I wonder if maybe it should be set for an amount of time and then removed if it's back to like normal levels. But it's just kind of an observation.
We've still had some sightings reported, especially near Fuji Park and along Clear Creek. But you're right, you can't have a sign for everything. You can't have a sign, you know, for all of that. That's a really good segue, though, because the Open Space Advisory Committee has created a subgroup. They're not a subcommittee. I don't want to infer anything. But they've picked three kind of target areas to try to assist staff with things that staff just doesn't have enough time to do, but they feel are really high priorities. And one of them is signage. And we have really inconsistent signage throughout the entire park system, including open space as well, and working on a sign plan. So we have visually consistent signage, consistent language, and it would all tie into ordinances, which is another group that they've created. The park ordinances, in my opinion, could use some help, and it would be great if there's anyone interested in kind of on the side, maybe one or two of you, let me know, and we could kind of team you up with them perhaps, and we could kind of work on sort of a philosophy with that, and possibly even doing like an RFP to do a design and a whole sign plan that's a little more consistent throughout the system. If you go to certain parks, it's sort of a sea of signs, and visually none of them even look consistent. So yeah, it's it's a lot. I appreciate your comments, and I think it not only is true with the coyote signs, but I think a lot of other signs in our park system, kind of a bigger problem.
Hey, Commissioner Long. I was out at Parks and Rec a couple weeks ago, and when I was leaving, guess what was across the field? A couple coyotes.
Did you do anything different because you saw the sign?
There was no sign.
That's the question I asked myself. Would I still go down this trail? Yeah, probably would.
Well, and it's not really would you go on the trail. I think it's making sure that individuals, especially with smaller pets, have their pets on a leash so you have them under control.
Yeah.
So it's being able to make that response a little more thoughtful. It's not really about us maybe going on a run at night or whatever,
right.
But it's definitely those with pets and in areas, especially like at Fuji Park, we have a dog park there as well. So you want to be really cognizant, especially those with smaller pets.
True.
Parks Department did a lovely presentation last February on coyotes. It was great, very informational. And I think it was broadcast on the public television system, and maybe if we could rebroadcast it, because it contained a lot of helpful information about how to protect your pets from the coyotes and yourself. All right, are there any other future agenda items? All right. Before we conclude, I would just like to remind those who may be watching that if they do have any question, public comment too. Let's do the public comments, and then I'll make my suggestion. Any public comments?
You know,
yes, sir.
So I know I've just beat this into the ground tonight, but future agenda item, can we put as a future agenda item if there's been any progress on that Kings Canyon trail link?
I don't see why not.
Because you got two parties that are willing, and maybe in a month or two we could see if they've done anything.
How about I research that and report back to you and put it on an agenda, you know, when we have an update for that? Would that be acceptable? Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I was just going to remind those who may be viewing at home that if you do have any comments or questions about the vintage, that the Planning Commission would be your best avenue, and the Planning Commission will be meeting September 29th at 5 p.m. Here. In the theater.
I'll be in the theater.
All right. Well, anyway, since there's no public comments, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
That's a hard one.